Mark Sakura, Sky, and Loki.
This week, stories have come out on the Game Awards and the art of keeping their biggest secrets a secret. How the show's biggest reveals were hidden from industry, event, and other staff until the night of. Stay tuned for this and plenty more news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 803 for this December the 22nd of 2019, or as my sister might say, Christmas Eve, 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 or as Dark Sakura might say, the first night of Hanukkah.
Chag Sameach.
And happy Hanukkah to you, too.
Thank you.
And I love you. Are you willing to show that on stream?
Yes, I
for
will.
Those that are watching live, as we do tape live at twitch.tv/VogNetwork for Voice of Geeks Network every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And I was asking if Dark Sakura would kindly step to the other side of the camera to show off her holiday sweater that she's wearing.
It says Happy Lamaka.
Happy Lamaka, which I love it. It's cute.
Which,
adorable
if I
girl.
Don't wear my pajamas to work... On Christmas, because I'm working Christmas, because hello, double and a half pay.
Yeah, right.
On a 10-hour shift.
Yeah,
hello.
I'd work too if I could for that kind of money.
I might either wear this or my onesie. I haven't decided.
There you go.
But I'm making latkes in 2 minutes.
That's right. The latke countdown is on. Yeah, it's a holiday food festivity too, actually. And I want to mention this because before the show, we were chowing down. One of our listeners stopped by the house because she's one of my Ingress buddies and dropped off some nuts. So we've been enjoying some candied nuts, which we have been calling D's Nuts. So we have been enjoying...
They are technically praline pecans.
Yes, they are. They are praline pecans that we've been enjoying throughout the show. Oh, Azette's in chat. So show her a little love there for sharing D's Nuts with us here on the show. Thank you. I believe that's the only way we can get away with showing nuts on camera here at the wonderful Twitch TV in the spirit of the holidays. All right, but of course, I can't have a discussion about food and leave out the one and only Tech Master Loki.
Sorry, I ate all the bread. Well, there's actually two breadsticks left.
Oh, in the spirit of the holidays, you're sharing. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
I'm so full.
Because I can't eat anymore.
Well, I'm so full right now, and there's latkes coming because Dark Soccer is, you know, we're all celebrating. We're celebrating all of the holiday things, especially when food's involved. Hello. So, like, I'll celebrate all the winter holidays by eating. So that's what we're going to do tonight is enjoy some latkes. I'm excited. So, and it's the one time a year where I can say, Dark Sakura, it's time to get in the kitchen. And I'm not.
Bitch, it might be. It's true.
And I'm not going to get yelled at. Yes. Dark Sakura, it's time to get in the kitchen.
Girl.
All right. The only time a year that I can get away with that because it's not. Look behind you in the little orange can. In the orange can. All right. It's going to be one of those nights, folks, that are tuning in and listening on the podcast feed, of course, which you can check out for yourself wherever popular podcasts can be found, such as Apple iTunes and Google Store. What is it? Android, Google Podcasts. the only place we aren't on right now, we're not on Stitcher because they kind of burned their bridges with us a few years ago. I'll tell you more about it some other time, although I've mentioned on the show in the past. And we are not yet on Spotify. That is something that I'm hoping will be coming in 2020.
Florida.
So, pretty cool. Anyway, so hello, everybody in chat. I see all the love. I see some folks sharing some love for the sweater there. And it looks like a bunch. One of our very, very kind listeners, She-Hulk, just somehow spammed out a bunch of emojis to folks that are watching live. So everybody was saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. So really appreciate that. She-Hulk's always one of our generous folks that's here listening live. So anyway, let's get into it. The news is a little lighter this week when it comes to video games,
yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, with the holidays. Well, if you think this week is slow, we're going to be here next Sunday. I wouldn't expect hardly any news to come out this next week, but... Next week, I'll tease you with this, we will be having our show where we can talk about the game of the year, but because it's 2019,
yes,
we also get to talk about the game of the decade, and we get to talk about the video game news story.
And I don't remember if this happens at the end of the year or the start of the next year, but we have the time capsule.
Yay!
Oh, I forgot about the time capsule. Oh, shit. Okay, well, depending – I don't want to promise the time capsule next week, but depending on the news. So if we're really light on news, we may just do time capsule next week because it's close enough to the end of the year. So I would think we do that. So yes, that's right. We have time capsule. I forgot about the fucking time capsule.
That's the point. We forget every year.
All right. So anyway, very excited about that. So we'll be getting into the time capsule maybe next week or the week after, depending on how things are going. So anyhow, let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, which has to do with the DualShock 4. So this actually is kind of a pretty big announcement for the end of the year. This is the type of thing you would have thought might have been coming for the holidays or something, but no, it decided to show up now. Holiday shopping, meaning like it would have been out like Black Friday.
Yeah.
And now we're getting it the actual holiday a little close, so I'm not sure.
Well, not even. It's next year.
Yeah, we're getting the announcement now for next year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, the back button attachment was announced by Sony this past week. It actually has a little display on it, which is interesting. So
it is.
It's a display for the back of your controller. But that display will actually show you what you are mapping these back buttons to. So, and I guess what, it can actually store different control schemes as well, which is interesting.
Yeah.
It also works with PlayStation VR titles, which, you know, would be expected, right? And all that. Coming out on January 23rd, and the attachment's going to be about $30. So, yeah, interesting. What do you think about this, Loki?
I don't know. It seems kind of unnecessary.
I hate to say it, but I'm kind of in a very similar sort of boat where I'm like, I don't know if this is really necessary, but maybe that's because we haven't seen the games that are going to incorporate this as a feature.
It's just mapping stuff. It seems like it's more of like this. Like,
for now.
I'm going to be a competitive esports player. And
interesting.
I don't know.
I could see, well, especially in a game like Final Fantasy 14, there's all sorts of weird-ass button combinations because, you know, that's a game that's designed with, like, keyboard and mouse. You know, a lot, although it works very well on controller, don't get me wrong. But I would think that that attachment is going to lend itself very well to maybe doing some macros and that type of thing. But, I mean, we don't think it has any separate functionality now, but it might later. And this kind of lends itself to something we were just talking about with our pal Bobby Blackwolf, who was just live on his program. And he was talking a little bit about how his thought is that this could be an early thing for the PlayStation 5. And part of the reason we're getting this now is because when the PlayStation 5 comes out, these controllers, you know, if you have this attachment, they can kind of lend themselves to the PlayStation 5.
I mean,
and
I guess
it would also make sense for games because there's going to be some games that are going to be coming out. So, for example, the Final Fantasy VII Remake is a prime example, in my opinion. The Final Fantasy VII Remake comes out, and let's say it has functionality that incorporates those back button triggers into something new. I don't know what, you know, but something new. Well, that almost would guarantee we're going to see this on PlayStation 5 because I'm telling you, bank money on the fact that the Final Fantasy VII Remake will be out on PlayStation 5 as well. It has to happen.
Right.
Because this is only the first episode of more Final Fantasy VII games because this Final Fantasy VII Remake only goes through the Midgar portion of the game. So the plan is to do the rest of it at some point, but by then, most gamers will have moved on to picking up a PlayStation 5 console. So whatever happens next will have to be on the PlayStation 5. And that's not even talking about what's going on in the Xbox world. But this controller news isn't about Xbox, it's about PlayStation, so we'll stick with that for now. So, looking at our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Fifth Dream Today says, I'm going to use it to map the X button to the back so I can press it with my left hand to advance RPG text and eat with the right hand. Actually, hey, not a bad plan. You know, and I have to say, when I first saw this design, my mind went to accessibility. And you're using it in a tongue-in-cheek way. But certainly for other gamers out there, maybe this is going to be something that makes certain games and certain button presses and things a more accessible thing, which is a very cool thing. And in my mind, I kind of went, ooh, maybe this is some type of response to the Xbox accessibility controller. Now, of course, it's not the same thing by any means, but maybe, okay, maybe they saw that an accessibility thing was really well received in attachment, so they wanted to do something similar.
Yeah.
So I could see that perspective as well. So
I don't know. I think if they wanted to do something like that as an accessibility thing, they would make it, it would be more robust, like the accessibility stuff with Xbox. This is kind of like, I think this is more of like, hey, you know, we've seen some of these third-party controllers, or even like with Microsoft with their Elite controller where they have these back button triggers and stuff. Let's get a piece of that action way too late in the game.
Now, of course, because this is our chat room, in the spirit of Christmas, they're taking it to the toilet. So
awesome. Yes.
Here we go. The toilet.
Beating me to it.
Because Fifth Dream today was saying I could have used my left hand to advance RPG text and eat with the right hand. And Bobby Blackwolf merely responded in quotes, eat. And Bobby Blackwolf.
He didn't say
the Bible.
He did not say visual novels. He said RPGs.
Pod culture follows that up with the PlayStation FAP attachment. So there we go. If those types of games are coming out, if Hunipop is announced for PlayStation, then maybe that will be a thing. I don't know. What are those adult games on Steam? I don't know.
Like all of them? I mean, there's like so many.
Them, right? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't think that one's an adult game.
Is it? I thought it was. Anyway. Pixel Paca says there was that one-handed RPG controller on PlayStation 1. I seem to remember something like that, too. So, and Dark Soccer is trying to participate in the kitchen without a microphone, but she's saying she used one.
When
she had surgery on her hand, she used one. So, anyway. Pixel Paca's in chat says, Fun Bag Fantasy. That is a real game name on Steam. Well, of course, because if we're going to talk about the toilet, let's talk about Steam's library, which I'm sure you're all consuming during the wonderful Steam sale that's going on for the holidays. But I think we get into more on that later on. But anyway. She-Hulk in chat says, the Xbox Elite controller rocks. Maybe the best ever made. Well, good news for you, She-Hulk, is that with the next round of Xbox, or the XX, or the Xbox Series X, if you want to be legit, the controller that is bundled in with it is a lot more like an Elite controller. It isn't exactly an Elite controller, but like the D-pad is more like what you see with an Elite controller. So it's taking a lot of its cues from that controller. And that it is a really nice controller. Let's tell the truth here. It's a great controller. But a pair of back buttons and a screen on the back of the controller is not going to turn the PlayStation.
But is that really worth spending another $30 for?
As it is, it might.
That's like more than half the cost of the controller.
Okay, here's my opinion. For me, in my current position, no, it's not worth it, and I'm not going to pick one up. However, I think it's cool that it's out there as an option for potential accessibility issues. That's great. And if we see games incorporating it in the future and this whole PlayStation 5 theory kind of lends itself to light, then I'd probably be more likely to pick one up. However, if this is functionality that's just built into the PlayStation 5 controller, then I'm more likely to just pick up a PlayStation 5 and I'll have it built into whatever controller they release at that time. And that's when I'll finally have the back buttons or whatever that is. So, anyway. She-Hulk continuing to lavish praise on the Xbox Elite controller in chat, saying, my online gaming improved instantly. Felt like I'm cheating with it. It is a nice piece of hardware, but, I mean, you pay a premium for it. It's almost expensive as a console, but it is really, really well done. And I mean, the fact that you can use those on PCs as well, I mean, you know, it's pretty cool. So, all right. So, a big no on this attachment, but yay that it exists from both of us here on camera. And I think Jamie, she's finishing up the latkes, but I think she. Do you approve, Dark Sakura, of this? Sure. She says sure for this attachment. But I think more maybe the premonition of perhaps what's to come with PlayStation 5. Let's marinate on that for a little bit.
$30 for more junk in the trunk for my controller.
Dark Sakura is saying from the kitchen something that I had brought up on Bobby's show that I forgot about, but talking about the Vita title implementation because, you know, Vita had the back touch. Now, this is not the same thing because the PlayStation back attachment are buttons, and the PlayStation 4 back was like you could swipe different directions. It was a touchpad. But a lot of games kind of used it like buttons. In fact, if you tried to emulate PlayStation 2 games on your Vita, you would there was no L2 and R2, so you had to use the back screen to kind of do that. So there is an argument to be made that this is, you know, something that could be opening the door to Vita support later down the line. But we'll see. So I guess we'll see as the games start to come out in 2020. Pay attention to that Final Fantasy remake. I think that's going to be a very big barometer with that sort of thing. So, all right. Anything else on the back button attachment? I don't think so. So let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. I think Dark Sakura is wrapping up the first batch of latkes, so I'm going to just go ahead and start with Loki while she finishes up.
I didn't play jack shit. I played a little bit of Minecraft Earth and a little bit of Pokemon Go, but that's about it. I didn't really play any console games. I did pick up finally, only because my kids wanted me to, and I've been just holding off on it, but Beat Saber, so I picked that up, and I'd recommend...
Did you get the Green Day stuff? Because I really
I did not. I haven't picked up anything yet. I was going to get some of the tracks that they have as part of their... I forget what the label is, but the... There was some of the stuff from Robot... What was it? Robot Machine or something like that, that was pretty cool. I've been listening to some of their tracks.
Monster Cat?
Monster Cat. Thank you. So, yeah, the Monster Cat music. I was thinking about picking up that pack, but I haven't done it yet.
It's good. I like the stuff. They have a couple freebies, too, like the Crab Rave.
Oh, that'd be cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
What I recommend, though, if like you are looking to pick stuff up on the Steam sale, is go check Humble Bundle, too, because Humble Bundle, when you do it through them, you also get like a certain percentage of that back onto your account as like a credit, so it actually ends up being slightly cheaper.
Okay, so Lakas have set up the fire alarm, so Loki, you're going to have to fill time by yourself while I take care of this.
So, I mean, so basically I was just... you know, looking to get some games there. I didn't end up purchasing Earth Defense Force Iron Rain. Almost purchased that, but I just don't know if I'm going to get to it right away. And also the reviews aren't that great for it. So we'll see. Maybe it has to get a little bit cheaper than $29.99. What I did do today, though, is I did introduce the kids to Qzar finally. So we drove the hour away to the one place that has Qzar nearby and went and played there. And unfortunately, even though it was an hour in the rain both directions, there wasn't really anybody else there because it's Sunday during the day and no one really wants to play Qzar apparently. But at least everything was in decent condition, although the arena is surprisingly dark. I do not remember it being that dark. And like when I went in there, I was like, are there lights out? I mean, I don't remember it being this dark. But the kids picked it up really quickly and... And bless their heart, they said it's the most favorite, you know, laser tag game that they've played. And I was like, cool.
I'm sorry. I was dealing with the fire situation. Or smoke. It's smoke. It's just, it's not really. The oil that she uses for Lakas makes a lot of smoke. And we didn't have a window open. So it was building up under. There's a fire alarm just, can you even see it? You can actually see it on camera way in the corner there. Yeah. And that's the one that was smoke going alarm. Off. So, sorry. So, I'm sorry. You took them to the one in Vacaville?
Yes.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so we went to Stars. It wasn't really worth the trip, though, down there, just because the amount of time we got to actually spend there wasn't very long, and there wasn't a whole lot of people there. Although they have a whole new arcade. Like, their arcade is, like, redone.
Oh, wow.
Which, not necessarily in the good sense. It's all of the giant, those huge, like, kind of attraction games that they have, like, the huge, I'm not gambling, but it's a thing that you have to pull a lever on to spin something. It's gambling. Ticket machines, and then they also had the giant Halo game that's there. That's kind of cool. No DDR or anything, or I think the last time I went there was In the Groove 2 or something, but none of that anymore. And of course, you know, the two kids working the counter for Qzar just didn't give a shit about Qzar. They gave him as much of a shit as the kids at the local laser tag place here, so it's fine, you know, whatever. But well, they had fun. We played a couple games and then drove back home because it's an hour drive in the rain and traffic. And so, yeah, it was fun. It was worth it to get them to see that. Would I do it again? Probably not. But I'll have to go down there at some point again.
Okay, fun. Let's see, my gaming week. A lot of similar stuff. I'm still playing Final Fantasy XIV, as always. Been going on random Blue Mage adventures in that game, because in one of the group chats I was in, they started talking about Blue Mage randomly. And I was like, oh, I haven't really checked that out since, you know, it was first added into the Stormblood expansion. I was kind of very lukewarm on it. But they added new content, so they added content up to level 60, so you can play a Blue Mage up to level 60 now. So I was like, okay, I'll go check it out and, you know, see what's different about it. And, I still wish they would just let you play a Blue Mage in regular content, and I'm not going to rehash the old arguments. But it's been a fun little diversion. It's something new to do in the game. I like that there's, like, a million different things you can do with Final Fantasy XIV besides just, like, raiding. So I'll give them that. At least they've created a lot of fun side things to do, even if, you know, Blue Mage should be part of the main content. I was going through my PlayStation account today because I was checking out the holiday sale to see if there was anything I wanted to buy. And I just started randomly playing stuff on my PlayStation that I hadn't played in a while, like DJ Max Technica.
Yeah.
Which I still want to buy some of those DLC song packs, but they're really expensive still. So I'm like, I don't want to pay like $15 because I really like one song in this pack. I did hear the DJ Max Technica is on the early release on PC, but I'm not double dipping for that much money. They want a like full price game for it, and I'm not going to double dip for that for like two new songs or whatever it is they have on PC. It's not enough licensed stuff to make it worth it to me. Sorry. But I was playing that a little bit, and then I was also playing it's getting smoky in here again. I'm really worried it's going to – no, it's fine. Is that the last batch you said?
Yeah, it's the last batch.
Okay, so hopefully it doesn't go off again, but I'm eyeing it suspiciously.
This is why when I used to make Super Bacon that we'd have a dedicated fan to blow the smoke away from the smoke alarm.
Yeah. I might – okay, well, we'll see. If it goes off again, Loki, you just need to fan it with your jacket, get the smoke out of there, and it'll be
fine.
Or
just the calendar that we have.
That too. Oh, also a window. Alan opened a window in there, and then I opened the window here. So
that'll be fine.
It'll draft through. It's just going to take a minute. So anyway, Pacel Pacas in chat says, I double dip for DJ Max respect on Steam. Was it worth it, Pacel Pacas? I mean, like, truly, like, do you enjoy it? Are you happy with that? Because, I mean, Lord knows I've double and triple dipped on things that maybe I shouldn't have, but I just like the game that much that I did it. For example, Mass Effect 3 on Wii U. There was no point to me doing that. There really wasn't. Speaking of double dipping, I played Pac-Man Championship Edition on PlayStation 4 because I already had it, but I also had the one on Switch because the Switch version came with the two-player one, the CE Plus or whatever it was called. I don't remember. But I remembered, oh, yeah, I have this on PlayStation. And because I'd been playing a lot on Switch, I'd gotten better, and I was like, what are these trophies I don't have unlocked? I only have to get an A on expert mode to get a gold. I should be able to do that. And I did. And I actually got two golds.
What?
Because you get a gold for B and a gold for A. So I was like, cool. If I could get an S, getting an S is really hard. I could probably do it because I've done it on beginner or whatever they call the single train mode. But I haven't done it on expert mode, which is – it's hard. Expert mode is a lot of luck is involved. I think that's why some people get really annoyed with Championship Edition 2 because there's a lot of luck involved in it, especially when the ghosts go on rails. So anyway, so I was playing a little bit of that, and I think that's really about it for my gaming week. I don't think there was a lot of extra stuff really. I'm trying to think. Oh, the cell phone gaming stuff. So I was actually going to ask you because you mentioned Minecraft Earth, but the smoke alarm thing threw me off. I've noticed that some updates for Minecraft Earth came down to my phone. Have they actually updated, changed anything in it?
They have an event going on right now for like the holidays. So they have you can get the Jolly Llama, which I did get. And they've got like snow and stuff like that that they're adding, like blocks that you can get. I haven't really done any of the adventures recently to see if those are different. But other than that, that's kind of it.
Oh, that's fun. Did you hurt yourself, Dark Sucker?
Burn my knuckle.
Oh, no. Do you need anything?
No, it's just the oil popped. Oh. And it's fine. I ran it under the cool tap, but okay. I should have run it longer.
Yeah, it's... Anyway. Well, if you feel you can do it, why don't you tell us about your gaming week?
I played some... did my shirt melt? No. Okay. I played Pokemon Sword. That's about it. I finally deleted Idle Pouring, so I'm no longer playing the Ragnarok thing.
Freedom!
I started playing Orna. Kind of bored.
That was like me. Sorry, really quickly. That was me when I uninstalled Diablo 3. It was like, oh my god, it's like this sudden freedom I was feeling.
Well, I'm trying Orna out, and it's okay. I am not having a bird knuckle.
You need to join Azette's party, because then she just plays, and it power levels you to like 80 in a minute.
Well, I'm already like 60, so...
Wow, that's way further than I got. Good for you. I got to like level 10.
Something like that.
Okay.
Because I wanted a sorceress. Mm-hmm. So, or witch. I got to witch. Next up is sorceress, but I have to earn more Orna.
Okay.
But I'm still doing Pokemon Go. I'm still doing the Harry Potter game. But I am no longer ever going to spend any money on the Harry Potter game again because I am not going to give my money to a TERF.
Does she get money from that?
She gets money from everything with her licenses on it.
I liked your idea of taking it back and just giving it to the fans. The fans own
but
it now.
But still, financial support, I don't feel right doing it. I'm not going to contribute any money to a franchise that supports a TERF.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that she opened her big mouth to say that.
And also Ricky Gervais, him as well. I already knew he was garbage, but now he's even hotter garbage.
Did you see that thing? And again, I don't want to sound like I'm justifying those comments at all, because I'm not. But I thought this was an interesting perspective. I saw an article that tried to talk about, like, British culture and how that might have an impact on it and some of the things that are going on in Britain.
Yeah, but we also have Boris Johnson and the people that support that garbage. It's the same thing that's happening over here. Yeah. So,
anyway. Pixel Podcast in chat says, me, says nothing. J.K. Rowling says some goddamn bullshit. Yeah, it's pretty much what it felt like,
pretty
didn't
much.
It? Bobby Blackwell says, LOL, we're still playing Orna here. Okay, so I mentioned this game just, like, quickly in passing, and then, like, all of you picked it up and started playing it, which is interesting to me.
What's Orna?
Okay, so Orna is... Okay, so I went on, like, a GPS game binge. So one of our listeners, Azette,
right,
lives here. It's her nuts, okay? So the nut lady, okay? She showed this game to me, this Orna, which it uses GPS... But
oh, that's the RPG one. You're right.
Yeah, it's like an RPG. It uses like classic 8-bit graphic looking things, but it's on like a, and I just realized I can't really show the camera because it might show where I live. Oops. It has a lovely piano soundtrack. But you can see how there's like little things you can fight.
Yeah, that's right. You remember you showed that.
And it's like it's like a classic RPG, but the stores and stuff are out in the real world. So for example, I was complaining that there wasn't a store near my house or whatever. So Azette, she came by here. She built a store out front because I guess you could do that at a certain level. So now I have a store right here on my house. Yeah, which is great. So, luckily there's a lot of stores, so I'm not like giving away my address or anything. And it's like you can there's a place that you can go to where there's like 20 stores, like all of that. And I'm like, you can just guess that an Orna player lives there. So there you go. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, we love it because there's no ads and we can just play it while sitting in our house. We built a store in my front yard. Bobby says, I'm level 82 and my wife is level 84. Wow.
I may have to pick that up and try it.
Yeah, I got to admit, I'm not like super into it because I just don't think the GPS stuff is that engrossing. But it is a nice little like, thank you, Dark Soccer. It is a nice little, like, mindless, like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, sit on the toilet and, you know, tap, kill, kill, die, die, and, you know, all the slimes and goblins and orcs and things that are on the house. So there you go. So that was pretty much it for my gaming week. So, Dark Soccer, did we get everything for your gaming week? You talked about, okay, so we're good. So let's move on and get into some gaming news. And I want to at least try one of these latkes here that Dark Soccer has made. So, Loki, while I jump into food here, tell us about our first story tonight.
So, Borderlands 3 is coming, or is out on Stadia. And one of the things with Stadia, the advantage to that platform is supposed to be, hey, you know what? You can just get into your game and play it, and you don't have to worry about downloading updates. It's just as updated as it could possibly be, except that it's not. So what happened was is the Stadia version that's out currently is the one that they released, the version that came out October 24th, which is when they had like their Halloween-themed Bloody Harvest event. So, apparently, there's several hot fixes and patches that have been added since then, but those aren't available right now through Stadia. And they're saying they're expecting, for example, like Moxie's heist of Handsome Jackpot, that's supposed to be expected on Stadia early 2020. So, it's like, yeah, it will download the updates for free or add the updates, but there's going to be a delay between the PC version or the console version and Stadia, which, I mean, it really doesn't need any more reasons not to purchase games through there. Considering that, like, I don't even know what the cost is for this game right now through Stadia, but all I can tell you right now is it's marked down everywhere else because of the holidays and sales. So, like, maybe I should just purchase it elsewhere. I don't know.
This is just another, like, yikes thing in Stadia's column to me when Google Stadia doesn't seem to have a lot of real positive steam going its direction when we talk about a lot of the buzz online. That's not to say the internet makes up the majority of, you know, what actually sells out there and that sort of thing. Because, like, for example, I think Bobby was talking about on his show, he had a friend or a coworker or something that's, like, all about Stadia. Because, you know, if it – it's one of those things where, like, if it uniquely works for your situation, then it really works for your situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. But, like, I'm curious to see what their numbers are. And the fact that those numbers haven't been, like, thrown out there like, oh, yeah, it's great, tells me it's not great. So I will have to wait and see when the next Google, you know, conference is going to be, when they'll talk about Stadia numbers, if they talk about Stadia numbers and what's, you know, coming towards that, you know, that platform or whatever. But they're going to have to do a lot more to it just to get people's buy-in on that. Because right now it's just kind of, eh, I don't know. They, like, just if you can't afford to, like, game on those consoles right now, I mean, we're talking about, like, this generation. We're getting into a new generation of consoles. I mean, you can always purchase the last generation of consoles, and there's a lot of games out there that are going to be marked down or much cheaper. I mean, I don't know that you really necessarily need to. I wouldn't necessarily want to dump money into a platform that I don't know is going to be around, especially if a digital platform that, if it goes under, then you're kind of stuck. Whereas, you know, if my PlayStation 4, if for some reason Sony's PlayStation Network infrastructure went down, I could probably still play my games through my console, even though they'd be offline. So I don't know. I think it's not very promising.
Yeah, if they were to put out some big numbers, I think you're right, then we'd know that, like, it's doing really, really well. But to be fair to Google, this whole thing that they were releasing was supposed to be, like, an early access thing. And the console or whatever, my quotey fingers, the console is supposed to be free, right? So when we actually see the version of this that is playable for free, we'll see what it looks like, the adoption rate looks like then. Like, how many people are actually paying some money to be able to play these games in their browsers and so forth.
I'm also curious, too. Like, remember how they were saying, like, to get the most out of the Stadia stuff as far as, like, this, you know, they were talking about their controller and how it's Wi-Fi and how it, you know, that's going to have the least amount of latency available. I'd be curious to see, like, the comparison between that and other controllers, too, because I think that's a bunch of hot bullshit right there. What they're trying to say, you know, oh, buy our $109 controller. I don't buy that for 1 minute, but I don't know. I'm just very curious to why someone would want to purchase games through Stadia versus, like, actually buying a console. Aside from, you know, saving the $200, $300 on a next gen or on a console, or if they're thinking, oh, well, I'm going to avoid, you know, buying, you know, a high-end PC or console next generation, and I'm just going to download games through Stadia. I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's going to be really big advantage as far as, you know, being able to save money.
The portability, I can see. If I traveled more for work, I travel a little bit for work, but not enough. But if I traveled maybe a little bit more than I do, I could see, you know, oh, if all I need to pack is a tablet and a little controller, and then I can play Google Stadia stuff. Like, that's what makes a Switch awfully convenient for traveling.
Right.
The Switch is, you know, it's got that portability to it. You know, you can easily pack it away or whatever. And then when I'm at home, I can play it on the big TV. I could see an argument like that being made for Stadia, is that, like, you know, if you are on the road a lot and maybe you don't have a living room in the traditional sense that you're in most of your time, then maybe a tablet and a controller would go a long way in being able to stay current on the latest and greatest in gaming.
Yeah, but, like, I can't imagine, though, that subset of people that play games is that huge. Like, it's like, well, this is good if you don't this, 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 and this. It's like, it's such a narrow scope for Stadia that I just don't see it ever doing, even if it was most successful with that narrow scope, I don't see it is performing as well as, like, other consoles. Like, I'm very skeptical to see where this is going to go, and I just feel that it's a nice idea, but I think it's way too early for it to be implemented. I don't think our internet structure, you know, infrastructure is what it needs to be to implement this correctly. If it was just, like, no bandwidth caps whatsoever and, like, everything's super fast, you know, all the time, like, I could take my phone and I have no trouble whatsoever streaming content to it, like, high, really 4K content to my phone, no matter where I am, like over the air, whatever, in this perfect world that we exist, then yes, that would sound pretty cool. But we don't live in that world.
Yet, but, you know, we're talking about stories of the decade and so forth. You know, I would guarantee by 2029, we're going to have internet as fast as cable now over the air, because that stuff is coming, you know. And I see that comment in chat from She-Hulk, 10, who in chat says internet at most hotels is terrible. True. So it probably, you know, lends a little strike against that story I proposed. But, and this is another maybe thing in the column of, well, maybe Stadia is just a little bit early, because again, 10 years from now, or I would gather sooner than that, but, you know, certainly in 10 years from now, 5G or maybe even whatever's after 5G is going to be even more out there and around and so forth.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to matter if the internet connection at your hotel is shit, because you're going to have a great internet connection through the magic of the air and so forth.
I mean, yeah, I hope that's what it ends up being at some point. But I don't have my 5G now, so I can't really say.
Yeah, I know. It's hard.
Stupid Verizon talking about, like, hey, 5G. 5G is the future. I'm like, is it outside of the middle of Sacramento? No.
There aren't really a lot.
Only one kind of 5G I care about, and that's 5Gs in my pocket.
And let's be real. And I know you guys, I already know the sour face that many of you are going to make when I say it, but it is the absolute truth. 5G doesn't matter until the Apple phone comes out that supports 5G.
Well, and also 5G doesn't matter because it doesn't work very well through walls, and apparently it only works well if you're standing in the middle of the street. So
there's still a lot of kinks to work
out. There's a lot of kinks to work out, yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf says, this sounds like what a lot of people were saying about Steam in 2003. I don't want to download DVD-sized games on my 56K modem. Yeah, take this clip and put it in the time capsule, and we'll play it on episode 1500 in 2029. And we'll see how far the internet's come.
What do you mean your show's not holographic? What the hell is this?
All right. Anyway, let's move on and talk about, speaking of like consoles and new consoles, there's a Nintendo Switch inspired console. And by inspired, I mean it's kind of a ripoff, allegedly. Like, I'm not supposed to say it's a ripoff.
It is a ripoff.
Well, the views and opinions expressed. But let's just say it looks like a Switch, and the logo looks a lot like a Switch. It's kind of surprising that Nintendo hasn't shut this shit down. Thanks to you guys on Discord for bringing this to my attention. And if you want to join our Discord, just go to vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com/Discord, and you can share stories for consideration on the show. And it talks about these clone systems that tend to come out. Yeah, we get systems that look like things, but they aren't really things. So now there is a Nanika Smitch. That sounds like a Simpsons parody of some sort, doesn't it?
It just makes me go, Nanika.
Nanika.
What's that?
The Nyan Cat.
No, that's what that means.
Oh.
Nanika. Like, what?
The Nyan Cat.
So it's what Smitch? Like, what, bitch? What? Fuck you.
That's what this console is. What, bitch? What? It has a blue controller on one side and a red like the other, and they look like they disconnect.
They do.
Anyway, also there's a flying Mario on the front of the box. So this is very clearly just boldly infringing on copyright. And apparently, if you actually hook this thing up, it's just downloaded and ripped ROMs as well.
Right. So they actually have a little bit more details on some of the other sites here.
So I was like, are they finding this thing at flea markets? Where are they finding this?
I don't know. But here they have like actual gameplay video of it and
probably
stuff.
Probably Wish.
So like here's the description on the actual box. So it says, you know, easy to use. Connect the RCA cables to TV and power cable to the power or play portable mode. And it says 800 games installed. Mario Bros, Bomberman, Against, Double Dragon, Adventure Island, and many more. It has got a 5.5-inch screen. And yeah, so basically,
Pixel Pacas with the throwback in our chat. They're finding it on Soulja Boy's store. Good one.
Not yet, probably. That's coming soon, yeah. But no, basically, it's like one of those emulators. It's got their have gameplay of looks like they're playing like Pac-Man. It looks like it's one of those multi ROM carts or whatever that's inside there.
So, but I'm saying this isn't exactly the thing you're going to find on a shelf at Target. Like,
these, no, God,
this
no.
This is clearly
this
something
is like
that's
one
like
of those mall
shops.
Kiosks, okay. You know, that sell this shady shit.
This was probably about 4 years ago. I went
flea
to
market.
Denio's, the flea market, right, the huge one out in Roseville, and I swear, like, I saw at least six different booths there that were selling like it was a Nintendo 64 controller looking thing, but it plugged into your TV, and it was they were just straight up playing Super Mario Brothers on it.
So, yep, I bought one of those for my friends one time.
Really?
For Christmas.
If you want to see reviews on a lot of this, though, one of my favorite channels on YouTube right now is RetroCore. He does the Battle of the Ports, which is sometimes where I get ideas for classic game. But he also does like the Chinese bootleg device reviews.
Like the V?
And they send him some to
so
review them.
Weird.
But... And he's very honest about it. He'll, like, if it's a handheld that maybe boots connects to a TV, like, has a TV tuner on it, he'll do both versions before doing it through a capture card. And some of them are good, you know. I still probably wouldn't buy one, but I like actually seeing the reviews of them to see just how far the little bootleggers have come in their emulation.
So if I'm hearing this right, this thing actually does still have the Switch concept of you can play the ROMs on the little screen or you can plug it in and it goes on the TV, right?
I believe so. I think I don't know if you necessarily can like put in a dock and it goes to the screen. I think it's more of you can hook up AV cables to it and it goes into a screen.
Oh, if there's something plugged in the AV.
Cuz yeah, they
out,
said that there's RCA cables.
Oh,
okay. So.
Because so it's not as fancy as a dock. I see.
I mean, maybe the controllers are wireless. I mean, assume because it says four AAA batteries for the controllers. Well, they call it, say, controls. Rechargeable battery for the screen and strap and power cable and AV cable.
So it doesn't really power very well either. Dark Tetsuya in chat with a zinger saying, but look at it this way. It might have more games than Nintendo Switch's online service. But I'm bumped.
You can definitely play more Nintendo.
The accuracy, the truth, the tea. Orange Wright says, judging by most of these, it's probably 20 games, and then it's just the games repeated over and over again. That's what happens with a lot of these bootleg things, is that it'll be like Mario, but Mario is a different color. Or Mario, but the Goomba is a penis, and somehow it snuck its way into this collection. So,
it's almost worth it if they had all those shitty bootleg ROMs in there.
Did I ever tell you about the very first ROM hack I ever saw on the internet way back in college? So there was this Japanese-only title that they never released, or they never released it here. Darkstalker, you probably know this one. It was an NES launch title. It was called Nuts and Milk.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you imagine what they changed it to.
Yeah. Because
in Japan, that game, Nuts and Milk, were two cute little characters that, yeah. When they did the ROM hack, yeah.
Was it butts and milk?
No, it was just it was nuts.
It was nuts silly. In vag.
Anyway, let's move on. We need some Christmas cheer here and some Hanukkah spirit.
So how
and some Kwanzaa? I'm trying to think.
Joy. It's joyous Kwanzaa.
Okay, Kwanzaa joy and some solstice slumber because I need a nap.
Solstice serenity.
Ah, I like that. Okay, so we need all of it.
The shortest day is the longest night.
We need all of it. And,
by the way, review.
Oh, the lockers are fabulous.
Yeah, this is the first year I've actually added stuff to the box mix.
Yeah,
the Straits box mix is better than the Manischewitz. I'm going to say it now.
When you said cheesy, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for all that cheese, but it's not like they're... It's not like Waffle House hash browns with cheese.
I picked cheese that wouldn't turn stringy melty.
Yeah.
It's a combination of Havarti and Manchego. So they're potent cheeses. You'll get the cheese flavor out of them without them being stringy and gooey. And the sour cream is a cultured sour cream, so it actually will be good for your tummy.
Well, that's good. I'm not usually a big sour cream person, but...
This stuff is bomb, though. And it's thick. Not bad for the grocery outlet.
Thick with five C's.
Thick. Right. For
I was looking on AliExpress to see if they actually were selling it, because that's usually where you can find this kind of crap, but nope.
No?
No, I don't see it.
All right, well, meanwhile, in festive chat, I'm going to maybe grab a couple more of these.
There's a few left, and I made the whole box this time. So how about something about Christmas? God, I'm sick of Christmas music. For the first time in 3 years, I have heard the Mariah Apocalypse happen. I wasn't participating in Whamageddon because I actually fucking like that song. but I fell prey to the Mariah Ocalypse three times in one day.
I heard a cover of it, and that's even worse.
But I actually like the Wham song. Anyway, there was an update to Death Stranding. It was updated to version 1.08 for, quote, various performance improvements to the game. But there's something else in there, and this is what ties back to the Mass of X. This is what I'm going to call it for now because it makes it sound more sinister. Christmas hats. So basically, some of the members in the Bridges organization will wear a Christmas hat, a Santa hat. Some of them weren't wearing them, but most of them were wearing the Santa hats. Sam could already wear his as an unlock before this, but now it was like a weird involved process, and you had to rank up your connection and some other crap, which me, I just, you know, watched the playthrough because I didn't want to do the running around stuff. But at any rate, it's a festive little update, and even the holograms are wearing Santa hats, so good job. I don't know why that they even bothered, because it kind of ruins the game atmosphere. And why can't we have blue ones to emulate Hanukkah Harry? I'm just saying, I remember the SNL sketch. That's it.
All right. I did get the patch, but I played a little bit of Death Stranding, but I did like one quest in Death Stranding. That was most I played this week. But I did not notice a Santa upgrade or whatever you want to call it. So I must be talking to one of the guys that doesn't have one. So they're not everywhere. All right. Moving on. Is there Jeff Keighley in a Santa hat? Is that something? Oh, don't know. I'll have to run over to that checkpoint and look. Because apparently the Jeff Keighley checkpoint, it is one of the earlier ones in the game. So.
You know which one annoyed the shit out of me, though?
Hmm.
The Conan one, because you know who annoys the shit out of me? Conan.
I haven't found him yet, so.
Otter Hat.
Hmm.
That's it. Otter Hat. Oh, that's boy. All I'm going to say.
All right. Moving on. Loki.
So there was a this is talking about, like, news of the decade, but there was a prototype of PlayStation Super Nintendo crossover type thing that they were going to be.
Like the one that Ben Heck did the work on?
I believe so. This is the Nintendo PlayStation, that prototype. Well, they are now going to be auctioning it off for, I believe, charity. So, basically, they said, I can't keep losing. Oh, maybe not for charity. So,
the charity of paying my rent.
So, the owner of the console right now, Terry Diebold, he apparently keeps losing money. He says he put a lot of work into it by traveling with it and has made nothing on it. Every trip that he's taken has cost money out of pocket. He says the bills itself, he says that he's the world's largest collectibles auctioneer, or heritage, I guess, is going to be. So they're going to start selling. Or start selling this, I guess, next year. They have it already on auction, I believe, at least previewed. And I don't know what he's looking to make for it. But apparently the online auction will begin February 27th and will not have a reserve price. So dump as much money as you want into this thing that I don't believe plays anything.
Yeah, you can't play anything with it. So really the only reason to have this is if you are, you know, the one of those that has, you know, the biggest collection of collections, or maybe a museum or something like that, or you're a tech person that wants to take it apart and see if you can, you know, but again, there's no games like built into it or anything, so you're just not going to get to play anything.
There was a BIOS disk and a couple of ROMs floating around, and I watched the whole rebuild with Ben Heck. It was actually pretty cool, mm-hmm. And he got things working on it. So now they're out there public to, you know, burn off whatever games. So
interesting.
I don't know. I would not pay money for this, but I know other people would.
And ActDev says you can only play Super Nintendo games, if I recall correctly. Probably. But here's the other side of that. Like, if you buy a system like this, you shouldn't be playing anything on it. Like you don't want to ruin it by actually using it to play games. I know. Doesn't that sound weird? But the reality is, if it's the only one out there, like, you don't want to do anything that would put it in a box and just let it sit there. You know who ought to outbid everybody and buy it? Nintendo. Wouldn't that be a gag? if Nintendo bought it and just put it in their store in a glass case or something. Or
why would you want to know?
Threw it away. Put it in the incinerator. That's what I would. That's what I would look
what
for.
What they're
Nintendo
gonna do is they're going to put it in a crate and it's gonna end up in the warehouse, just like at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Bobby Blackwell says this should be in a museum, not in a collector's basement. I agree, but it's going to be up to a museum to pay that kind of money for it. And I just don't know, like, what kind of like public museums would this fit in at?
I don't know. Doesn't the official
the
official gaming museum or whatever the hell that?
There's a
Hall of Fame, the official Hall of Fame of games or some shit that
there's another one in New York though.
Middle of fucking nowhere.
That one that inducts the five games every year into the Video Game Hall of Fame. That's out in New York somewhere.
That's not New York. I thought that was the one that was in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Mm-mm.
No.
No. Different. Bobby Blackwell says the Maid in Oakland. That's right. I've even been to that place. But you know what? When I went, there was a special event going on, so I didn't see what the place normally looks like. And honestly, I thought it was like a store type of thing. So, but now that you say that, oh yeah, that place is a museum usually when there's not an event going on at it. So, and Bobby says the Computer Museum of America in Atlanta. Bobby brings up Frank Cifaldi's Preservation Society. That's where my brain went too. But you know, they're going to need the money to compete with those basement investors. So hopefully they've got a shadow donor willing to pony up the money to let it go there if that's what's going to do that. So be interesting. So anyway, Orange Wright says, twist, Sony buys it. Pog Culture suggests Jamie's Vault. Well, she would probably have to sell all of the pinball machines and then some, and I don't know if they're willing to do that for a
I'll be honest, I wouldn't be excited about having it, especially since, I mean, it would be cool, but it would be like that little Pong machine that I picked up.
Yeah.
It's not older than me, but it would just be sitting in my vault with nothing I can do with it.
Yeah, and as much as we tease you about the vault, like, you and Dan do, like, you'll go in, you know, the vault's kind of morphed a little bit because it was at your old house where you actually
had,
like, a vault.
Break out the Saturn and play Christmas Nights.
But that's the thing. You guys will actually, like, go in there and be like, I want to play this. And then it's like, you know, so you actually are like, it's like walking into your own little used game store and pulling in what you want to play, and I just have a bug to play this game this week. It's not owning things to own.
That's actually the reason why we have EverDrives now, so that we don't actually have to hunt down where the fuck we put the cartridge, or, you know, this memory card that has this thing on it, or, like, well, and we can also play some of the Super CD games, because, like, for the TurboGrafx, because I don't have an arcade card, and I don't have the CD unit for my Core Graphics. If I had a Duo RX, then shoot, yeah, that'd be fine. I don't know who out there would be willing to spend $200 on me, but hint, hint. But I'm just, at any rate. I mean, I've been trying to find the CD add-on for the Core Graphics, and I really haven't been able to, that's why we're looking forward to that TurboGrafx Mini. Because we're on the pre-order for it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I pre-ordered that. And yeah, that's not even out till what? Like March or something?
Something like that. But it's,
yet another thing in March.
But it's going to have the Super Graphics version of... was it Dai Makimura or Cho Makimura? No, Cho Makimura was SNES. So it's going to be Dai Makimura, as in Ghosts and Goblins. I always get them mixed around which one was first, Ghouls and Ghosts or Ghosts and Goblins. So I just always call it by the Japanese name because it's easier for me to remember. You know, it's going to have some of the Super Graphics games on there, but I mean, back in the long run though, it would be a nice thing. I'll put it that way. It would be nice to have that system. It would be a little slice of unique gaming history that no one else has, but that's all it is. What good would something like that do in my closet when other people could be looking at it? Where, I mean, hell, I could, if I had it, I would probably have it reverse engineered and rebuilt, you know, and market it or something. Or, I mean, not really market it, but like make them for other people. That would be cool. You know, have them, you know, do like the pachinko thing where you take your little pachinko balls to the store next door and get your prize. So I wouldn't actually be selling it. I would just be getting prizes that I can trade for money.
I see.
If it's good enough for Japan, it's good enough for me.
All right. Regardless, no one in this room will be picking up the Nintendo PlayStation, that's for sure. But it will be very interesting to see how that all plays out. And if it does go to museum, or the purchaser has chosen to keep their information private, which sometimes happens. So But you know what's interesting, though? Like, the reason why my mind keeps going to museums is that sometimes those, that rock and roll paraphernalia gets sold. And you know who buys that stuff sometimes is Hard Rock Cafe. And that stuff, and so they send them to Hard Rock hotels and cafes around.
I wouldn't want that to happen to it.
Well, it but at least you can kind of go see it. Although, I told you about the Vegas story, right? I was in Vegas, and we went to go see the Gwen Stefani show. So me and Miss Melody were in Vegas, and we were trying to find the her name is now Jerry Horner, but it was Jerry Halliwell. Mm-hmm. We were trying to find her dress, because her infamous British dress. I saw it at that Vegas casino about during the – it was years ago. It was during the 25th anniversary Rocky Horror Convention. Mm-hmm. So I saw it there during then. So we were looking around for it. Well, as it turns out, it's no longer there. They had moved it out of that casino. That's the thing that annoys me. I was like, well, you know, if you're going to have all this stuff, put it on display somewhere. But we did get to see shoes that Britney Spears wore in the Toxic video. So that was cool.
Okay. See, none of that that type of thing matter. Well, I like seeing the instruments.
Uh-huh.
Like seeing, you know, Lemmy's bass, for mm-hmm. example.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing, you know, just because especially when you look and see like finger marks and, you know, grooves that were cut on, you know, different things. That gives me a little bit more other than, oh, these are shoes.
Look.
Oh, my God. Britney shoes.
Some people take a trip to the Holy Land because they want to see where religious people in the past walked and did things. If I want to go see Britney's shoes, that's my religion, okay? That was
except yours isn't tax exempt. Then again, no, you did hear about the Satanic Temple becoming federally recognized.
Oh, no, I have not.
Yep, they...
I would have thought that already happened.
It's actually, it was, it's like one particular aspect of, it's like they finally went for full recognition or something and got their tax exempt status, and then now they say they voluntarily pay taxes because they're trying to, I mean, honestly, they've been better quality humans than the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'll leave it at that.
Do they still have that statue of Baphomet?
Yeah.
It's some, I always thought that was the most hilarious story. I'm sorry. Anyway. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about another type of religion for some people. Phantasy Star Online. Lord knows I've lost many, many hours.
I want to play again.
To Phantasy Star. Well, guess what? You were going to have the chance soon to play Phantasy Star Online 2, which granted, it did change some stuff from the original. But I still want to check it out. Yes.
On a machine I don't have?
I could check it out. I could, you know, do all that stuff with the patches and all that stuff. I don't want to. I want Sega to support it in America. And finally, as we found out at E3, they're going to be. And so there is a beta test coming out. So there is right now a closed Xbox One beta test, which is why Jamie's mad because she doesn't have an Xbox One. That will be happening in early February. You can sign up now through the Insider app on your Xbox One. So if you are an Xbox Insider, which is like, I don't remember if you signed up on the website to download a special app or if you just have to download the app from the marketplace. But I know it's called like Xbox Insider Hub. So look for that. And that allows you to like look at, like if you want to look at betas of hardware updates and things like that, you can get all that through the program too. And then they have surveys and things that you can answer and you get little points and you level up. It's cute. So anyway, I don't know about you guys, but if you haven't turned on your Xbox One in a while, you might want to do that so you can get on this stress test, if you will, for Phantasy Star Online 2. And again, that's going to be happening in February. I don't know when this closes, but I would get on that sooner rather than later. Now, Dark Sakura, you won't be left out forever. There will be a Windows 10 version that launches later in 2020, although I know you're at war with your PC right now. But maybe later in 2020 that will resolve itself by the time Phantasy Star Online 2 becomes available. So excited. I hope I get in. And I hope there's not a lot of NDAs. I hope we are able to live stream it. But if we can't, we can't.
I just missed my mags that I had in the first PSO because I had my Opa Opa. The Opa Opa was my favorite because I fucking love Fantasy Zone, but I did also have a Sega Master System.
Well, you know, Mr. VG Realness, Delvin, and myself, we jumped into the wonderful world of pirate servers for Phantasy Star Online Blue Burst because we were streaming for a little bit, and that was a lot of fun. So I think it was called like Affinia or something like that.
I played PSO2 for a long time, though.
Just Google Phantasy Star Online private server, and it's like the first result that comes up. And there's still quite a few people that are rocking on that platform, so it's very cool. So all right, Dark Tissue says, that reminds me, did you all drop off of Blue Burst? I'm not actively playing Blue Burst, but forever in my heart. And honestly, if Delvin were to text me one day and be like, yo, bitch, let's do a stream, I'd probably be down. So, because I had a lot of fun doing those Blue Burst streams, so I'd probably do it again. So, all right. Questbuster talking about PSO2, saying the cosmetics in PSO2 are pretty insane. People were running around in so many tie-ins, like Attack from Titan gear. Well, PSO2 was a free MMO, so there are going to be a lot of commercial spots and things like that. I don't think they're going to suddenly charge for it here. It's really hard. There's only, essentially, I think, like 3 premium MMOs left in the U.S. That would be World of Warcraft, of course. Final Fantasy 14, I guess 11 as well. I guess you could bundle into that. But the other one that's coming to mind, isn't EverQuest still a monthly pay? Or did they finally take EverQuest free to play?
I don't remember.
I don't know, but I have a friend who's playing EverQuest, like when they brought back the OG server.
Bobby would know. I'm just waiting for the delay because he'll know, because I know he was on the EverQuest bandwagon for a long time. So I can't remember if they finally went free. I know EverQuest 2 didn't take off the way they hoped it would. So... But yeah, having a premium, like, month-to-month pay MMO is a hard thing to do now in this day and age. Like, they tried it with Star Wars. Sorry, Bobby. Is EverQuest something you still pay a monthly fee for, or did it finally go free-to-play? And what was the Star Wars MMO that I can't – I keep wanting to say The Force Awakens, but no, that was the movie. What was the Star Wars MMO called? Damn it.
Metal Mayhem says God, I almost said ElfQuest. EverQuest
is free to play now. Okay.
You know why I have ElfQuest on my mind? Hmm. I found my ElfQuest graphic novels from like the 80s.
Oh, that's funny.
I love ElfQuest.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, that means like as far as premium MMOs go, there's only Final Fantasies and World of Warcraft are still able to get away with charging a monthly fee. That's really
the
it.
The Old Republic?
Yeah. The Old Republic. Thank you. The Old Republic celebrated 8 years this past
Knights
week.
Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah. I had a friend that worked on that. She used to call it Scrotor. That's how I got into the Skywalker Ranch.
But that was a fun little...
Krista worked for LucasArts.
Yeah. But that was a fun little side adventure, you know, game, and it, you know, had a lot of the BioWare traits in it. I loved that you could play, like, a bad Jedi or a good Sith. Like, I really loved that was, like, an option that you could do.
I would just want to do full-on gray Jedi or gray Force user. Whatever.
And Bobby is saying, okay, so it's free to play, but it has premium subs. But the sub is Daybreak All Access. So it's EverQuest, EverQuest 2, DC Universe Online, and PlanetSide 2. So it's like all these MMOs in one, basically. So that's kind of interesting. So, and Bobby's saying, I enjoyed SWTOR. The Jedi Knight storyline was KOTOR 3 to me. Yeah, I've heard that feedback before, too. So anyway. All right, that world of MMOs. But Phantasy Star Online 2, that'll be a free one. So that's good. All right, moving on. Dark Sakura, some more details on we're having a Microsoft night tonight, apparently.
I guess so. But this one actually makes me really happy. I love to see people doing things right. So Microsoft has announced their lead character in Tell Me Why is going to be transgender. The main character is a man named Tyler Ronan, who is, I guess, it doesn't say anything about, you know, where he is on his thing, and that would be, of course, be a personal decision. It's not something that should matter about the character, just that he is a transgender man. And one of the quotes from Guillaume, who is the game director, Florent Guillaume, is that the goal is not to have an agenda. We develop characters and stories because we believe in their value and in giving experience to players. And then later on saying that Tyler is a young man with great values, good and bad elements, and that's what makes him human. And I really like that they put a lot of attention into the voice actor to find someone who would sound authentic, and into making it just the word I'm thinking of. I hate to phrase it this way because honestly this is what I wish any sexual orientation, any gender, anything like that would be. Is that it's just a thing. It's a normal thing. It doesn't need to be made special light of because it's an intrinsic part of this person. It's special because it belongs to this character. It's special because the person is special. And I'm not saying ignore somebody's experiences, but at the same time, I would just like it to be, you have brown hair. Oh, you're gay. Oh, you're you're a trans woman, you know. And so I hope that they take that approach in the game instead of making it. I want to see the struggles highlighted, but at the same time, I'd also like it to be that normal part of who that person is.
And I'm going to just say this because you know there's people out there that are going to pose this question. Why does it matter? And I'm not saying I'm asking that question, but I want to just entertain that because you know there's going to be people out there that are going to say, why does it matter? Why does it matter that why do we have this trans agenda shoved in our faces? Because I'm sorry, but you know it's out there on the Twitterzies and that stuff. So, but in my kind of opinion, the fact that that would be out there is kind of exactly why there needs to be something like this. It's kind of like one of those, well, if that's the question you have, play the game.
Exactly. And the way I feel about it now is, and now keep in mind, this normalization, that's going to be down the line. That's not now. Representation now absolutely matters. It is something that needs to be brought attention to, but I don't want it to be treated as in this is this only this character's
tokenism.
Only reason to right to exist. I want it to be a fully realized person who happens to be trans and that his experience as a trans man plays into who he is as a person, not necessarily just I'm going through everything that all trans people in the universe are going through. No, his experience is going to be different. My friend's experiences are different. Everybody's experience is different, and I want it to be kind of like that. The representation, though, abso-fucking-lutely matters.
And I think to add to that point as well, you know, when there was a trans character in Mass Effect Andromeda, that character took a lot of criticism because
it
didn't act like a trans person. The trans woman did not act like a trans.
She deadnamed herself.
Exactly. And that's like, no, like if you ever meet a trans person, they're not going to say, what was the line? I'm trying to think of the line that she said, but she said like something
when
like,
when I registered, it was as the name blah.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. And it's like, okay, no trans person would actually say that within 60 seconds of meeting you. That
no.
is not like.
It's no one's fucking business.
Yeah. Most trans people would probably, at least any that I've known, like only if I knew them before they transitioned do I know.
Yeah.
Those details. Otherwise, it's not my business. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's what I do for myself whenever I have a friend transitions. And actually, I have a few friends now that I do not remember their names beforehand because I give myself a year. I change their contact card on my phone, and then I put a parenthesis with the first initial of their dead name to give myself 6 months so that the name is fully associated with them. Then I remove the initial, and in a lot of cases, I even have to sit and think about what was their dead name. And I don't do that because that's disrespectful to the journey they're going through. Yes, that name, that person is a part of who they are. Forgetting it erases a part of who they were, their experiences, but at the same time, no trans person out there is going to say, oh, well, you know, I was Julia before, and now I'm Jack. They're not going to do that. They're just going to say, hey, I'm Jack. What's up? That's all it's going to be, because that is who they are now. You don't need to know who they were. You need to appreciate the person that who they were made.
So, anyway.
Sorry.
No, it's important, and I think brings insight to the question, why does it matter? Because you know that's what's on social media right now. And I know we shouldn't have to go down that road, but I had to, because somebody out there might be wondering.
Isette said that Mattel came out with trans dolls, and I'm just going through my brain trying to figure out how that works. Like, because, I mean, I know that trans people are more than their genitals, but the dolls have no representation like that other than maybe having boobs or, you know, being built in a particular way. So I don't know how that would happen unless it's just like in their backstory.
Dolls don't have genitals or that sort of thing. I mean, everybody's undressed a Barbie and a Ken back in the day and you found nothing.
But
so
now this is what I'm wondering is how they would represent trans characters in a Barbie doll. If there's something different about the body mold or something. I have to look that up. That's actually very fascinating.
All right. Well, in the meantime, we aren't a doll podcast. We're a video game podcast. We're going to move on.
Thank
to
God. I'm at the wrong show.
Well, dolls could include Legos as like an extension.
That's not a doll.
Sia Tiberi says they may have been gender neutral with options to dress up as more male or more female. Okay, with wig. Yeah, okay. I did actually. I think I did see that, and so that makes sense to me.
Okay, cool. All right. Anyhow, let's move on and talk about why don't we talk about cars. Yeah, we'll talk about cars, Loki.
Yeah, come let's talk about the manly
dude.
Games we could
come
play
on
our cars.
Dude,
like,
let's talk about cars.
Like Stardew Valley. Yeah. That manly
on my fucking Tesla.
That manly romancing farming sim. Woo. But yes, apparently part of the holiday software update, Tesla owners are getting a Stardew Valley port.
Not all Tesla, because like certain it depends on what version of software or your car basically and what it can run. It's just like, you know, we were just talking about iPads, and when they no longer will play the latest and greatest stuff.
Sorry, your car can't play Stardew Valley.
Bobby is pointing out that not on my Tesla, LOL early adopter. Teslas built after 2018 will get Stardew Valley. So it has to be a newer, meaner Tesla.
Just
so.
Have to play that a few, you know, I don't remember when this game came out, but like.
But will the James Bond truck play this?
Probably.
You know, but we always, you know, okay, so I feel like in some ways this whole like games on a Tesla becomes this joke of like Linux on a toaster. But
which has happened.
Of course it's happened. But there is some, like, there is, like, reasons why this exists.
Well, they also
right?
have with the full self-driving sneak preview is coming as well. So you're going to have to do something while your car is driving you somewhere. Granted, we're not quite there yet. I think we're going to have cars driving themselves. I mean, yeah, they do have some self-driving cars. I just wouldn't trust it with the people, especially with the people I've been driving around today. I would not trust it. Because people be stupid.
So in other words, you trust your car, you don't trust other people's cars.
Correct.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, people are dumb.
Well, yes, and Bobby, and this is, of course, very clear, is that, and I didn't get to make this point yet because we went on a tangent, but the games don't work when you're driving, so you don't get to play Stardew Valley while you're driving, not even your passenger. It doesn't work that way, okay? But what it's for is, and in my mind,
Why you're supercharging.
Yeah. Exactly. And you might think, well, doesn't that defeat the purpose of charging to be wearing down the battery playing a game? It's charging a lot faster than you're using it, the little bit of power to play a game. So, and yeah, that is a real thing about, you know, Tesla ownership or any type of all electric vehicle, really, is that, you know, you're going to have to, the way you fuel up is different. You know, if you're taking a big trip, and again, you know, cheap plug for our own YouTube channel. At VOG Network, I don't pimp the YouTube very much, but here's a very real application there because Bobby has a couple of road trip videos from his own Tesla experiences where he kind of talks about how they stop to supercharge at certain places while he's going on these very long road trips, such as when he went from Atlanta to Washington, D.C. for MagFest is one video that comes to mind. And he, you know, showed like how that path all worked and all that stuff. So, you know, for now, that's why a lot of superchargers are at malls and mm-hmm. big travel stops and places yeah. with things to do. So that way it's like, okay, I'm getting out, stretching my legs. It's not just like 20 minutes to, you know, fuel up, get a big gulp and go. You know, you have to charge from sometimes about 45 minutes. Depends on how many miles you're trying to go. So that's, you know, why these things are here. But this gives you something to do to kind of pass the time. If maybe like you get back to the car and you find, oh, there's still 7 minutes to go. I'll just sit here and diddle-daddle on a game while I wait for my car to top off, and then I'm going to get back on the road. It's a little bit of a different way of thinking. So, anyway. Bobby says, aw, those videos took way too much work for the little amount of views we were getting. Bobby, that's why I pimped them right now. I put them out there right now. You should put them on the Twitch channel.
But
just
like,
put them in the archive. Why not?
When we take the whole Blizzard approach to this, and don't you guys have phones? I mean, isn't that what cell phones are for?
Yeah, but have you ever ridden in a Tesla?
No.
Those screens are real nice, Loki. Like the first time Bobby Blackwolf picked me up at the airport, we were going to Dragon Con. I got to ride. Actually, I don't think it was an airport trip the very first time. I can't remember. But the very first time I was in his Tesla, I was like, this thing's like a fucking spaceship. This is cool. Like it's like there's a lot of stuff in there that's not in cars normally, but instead it's like world's largest iPad is the whole like console type of thing. And it was cool. It was very different. But yeah, you kind of look around, you go, I feel like there's things missing in this car, but there are. Because
and that thing missing was Stardew Valley.
Well, no, like an engine. Like it's just like, again, like the whole the frunk, as he calls it. There's nothing in the front part of the car because all the important stuff's underneath. So it's just interesting. Anyway. All right. So Stardew Valley on Tesla.
Stardew Valley, right. Yes.
There you go. next up, let's do a follow-up and talk about the Game Awards again. We're going to talk a little bit about that X-Sex secret, the Xbox Series X, the X-Sex.
I'm going to call it the X-Sex.
Well, just to take a little side note, actually, it's just supposed to be called Xbox. Is actually
Well, then you shouldn't have put out Series X.
Here's the thing. No. This is. I think people are making way too big a deal out of this. So Business Insider, somebody ran a thing where there was an interview where the next gaming platform that Microsoft is putting out is called Xbox. And y'all done already known this. Because every time they release things on Windows 10 that go back with Xbox, it's Xbox, Xbox Gaming, Xbox Game Pass, Xbox this, Xbox that. That is the name of the platform. Series X is just the name of the device. And if you think this is weird and stupid, then I'm going to use the Blizzard approach. Don't you all have phones? Because this is the same thing that cell phones do, right? Does a game like Stardew Valley, is Stardew Valley on cell phones? I'm assuming it is.
Yes.
Okay, so Stardew Valley, when you play it on your cell phone, you're playing it on iOS or Android, right? Now, you might have an Apple iPhone 11 Max, but it's iOS. You might have an iPhone 6, iOS. You might have an iPad, iOS. Okay? So what Microsoft's doing is actually not that crazy because I'm seeing all these hot takes that are like, boy, Microsoft just keeps rebooting themselves, and now it's just the original. Didn't they already do the original Xbox? Stop. Be quiet, Tiffany. What it is that the Xbox is – and that actually it makes the name Xbox One actually all that more interesting because if Xbox One is the first truly forward-compatible console,
yes,
then it is truly Xbox One. And now Series X is going to be the 11 Pro Max of Xbox until the next thing comes out. If you laugh because it's ridiculous, guess what? Your phones are ridiculous too. So that's my whole thing on the whole Xbox thing. So anyway, ActDeft in chat says, shut the fuck up, Karen. You don't know shit. That's exactly what I'm saying right now. All right. Anyway. But how did they keep the secret of the Xbox Series X and the fact that there is a new Xbox console coming out and we were going to get to see it at the Game Awards? Well, what happened is that Jeff Keighley did an interview with Variety and actually mentioned that when they were doing dress rehearsals and walkthroughs, that there was actually a fake script that Phil Spencer was using. So everybody behind the scenes and at the dress rehearsal and on the crew, they all thought that Phil Spencer was going to be talking about Xbox Game Pass because that was what the script was about. And maybe that's where some of this talk about, like, control coming to Xbox Game Pass and all that stuff. I mean, I know Phil Spencer had slipped up and said it in a stream or something, but maybe all that stuff was, like, a front. Like, because maybe that was the lie. They may have been coming out on stage with this whole lie about such and such games are coming to Game Pass. And that actually, nope, it was all a ruse. Because then the actual story, as we all know and what we saw, was that it was the Xbox Series X. But I thought that was fascinating that they had a whole fake script that they used. So everybody thought he was coming out to talk about Xbox Game Pass. That's pretty cool.
Neat.
Yeah. But you know what? Did it leak? No, it did not. No one saw that one coming. So
True. You
know what? It worked. All right. Bobby Blackwolf wants to remind us, Jeff and I have something in common. We've both been seen in Variety. Yes. That is true. All right. Let's go back to a classic time. Let's go back to a time when Variety was actually still a magazine. There was actually a Variety magazine.
I remember that magazine because we used to get it at work.
That's right. It's the classic game of the week. And every week, Dark Sakura steps into the vault and finds a game on the shelf that she thinks, why, yes, this would be a good selection. Yes, and everybody should check out this game this week.
Everyone really should. It's a good game.
It's one of those games I'm kind of like, I'm really surprised she hasn't done this one. But again, I think it's
a 10-year-old game.
I think it's one of those, it just turned 10, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
So, Dark Sakura, that being said, what is the newly inducted classic game of the week?
Dragon Age Origins. So, of course, you know, it was the first of the Dragon Age games. It was published by BioWare R.I.P. the BioWare I knew and loved. And published by Electronic Arts. It is the first of the Dragon Age games. It was released on Windows, PS3, and Xbox 360 in November 2009 and on Mac OS December 2009. God, that would have been OS 10.4, 5, something like that. Anyway, so it is set in the Kingdom of Ferelden during a period where things are kind of shitty. And on top of there being political shittiness, there's... A bunch of darkspawn running around because, darkspawn are absolutely crap. And they're demons from the other world, from the Fade? I don't remember if they ever said that the darkspawn came from the Fade, but at any rate. But you play as one of three classes from three different backgrounds. You play a warrior, a mage, or a rogue. You can be elven, which actually I think in the elven you either get, as a mage, I think you start off as a circle mage, and the others let you choose city elf or Dalish elf, which are basically like the wild elves. And then you can be a human or you can be a dwarf, and you are recruited as a Grey Warden, and you meet Alistair. Oh, he's so great. As he says, swooping is bad. But anyway, it's played in a third-person perspective. You can shift it to top-down. And you pick up other characters in the game that sometimes show up in later games. Morgan. And sometimes show up only in the comics. Sten. But it's really spawned this whole beautiful, right now, I guess, trilogy. And we're going to be having another Dragon Age game come out. So, but it really was well-received and well-reviewed, although I am glad that they went from not having the character have a voice to in Dragon Age 2, where you could actually, the character had dialogue and Hawk was awesome. But at any rate, it began development in 2002, had more than 144 voice actors, and it had Einon Zurtuk compose the game's music. And the console versions were outsourced to a group called Edge of Reality. The first expansion for it came out in March 2010 as Awakening. And then Dragon Age 2 came out in 2011, and Dragon Age Inquisition came out in 2014. I've played the shit out of Dragon Age Inquisition, just saying. This is the game that brought Cullen into that with his beautiful voice actor who kind of sometimes goes off the deep end and goes missing for days and then they find him. That was a bit of drama. But at any rate, so as you go through, you're a Grey Warden, which being a Grey Warden has you do something like, part of it involves ingesting darkspawn blood and some other botanicals, so I guess gin. And so you can sense the darkspawn, you get nightmares and stuff. You've got your spellcasting, you've got your rogue, which, I think in this one I really preferred a rogue. In Dragon Age 2 I preferred a rogue, but I played a mage in Dragon Age 3 because it was much easier. So the classes that are available to you, as I said, you can sort of mix and match. We had Dalish Elf, Dwarf Commoner, a City Elf, a Mage, a Human Noble, or a Dwarf Noble. And it affects how the other characters will treat you. However, they all follow pretty much the same completion of the story. Like, for an example, if you play an elf and you get it on with Alistair and he becomes the king, you have to be his mistress because of the politics of the land not permitting the king to marry an elf. And it's actually, not spoiler, he's elf-blooded, meaning that his mother was an elf, which you find out all about her in one of the books and in Dragon Age Inquisition, because Fiona was kind of stupid. But at any rate, it was very similar in gameplay to Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, where you have to engage the enemy and then attack that enemy. Or you can switch back to other enemies that you're fighting. You level up your warden with experience points, like any type of RPG. And then you can get those points to distribute amongst your attributes. You can interact with your party members and other NPCs. You have dialogue trees, which will unlock based on the things that you first select. So And of course, it also will sort of build again your reputation with how you interact with these other characters. And of course, really, I think, incorporated into later BioWare games, because you know we had the Paragon Renegade dynamic in Mass Effect, right? So, but at any rate, you are in the world of Thedas, which, this is going to sound kind of funny, but one of the things I always liked about it is that their world is actually set in a southern hemisphere. So the further south you go, the colder it gets, and the further north you go, the warmer it gets. And they are in the middle of a blight, and the Darkspawn are being shits, and you got to stop them. So, of course, this game brought us, like, some of the most, I would say, memorable characters. I mean, just because I freaking love Alistair. Like, he's one of my favorite characters ever in a game. There's Morrigan, who, was raised by, I don't want to spoil too much if you are going to go in and play the games later. But her mother is Flemeth, who is voiced by Kate Mulgrew. You have Ogryn the dwarf, who is just like, I love him because he's drunk all the time. You have Wynn, who actually ended up, I didn't care for her in the game so much, but I really liked her in one of the later novels. I really liked her character in the novels. You have Zevran, who is the elvish assassin who wants to fuck everybody. You have a dog, a Mabari. And of course, the first thing I do is put in the mod so that you can have him in your party all the time, even if he's not actually in your party. Because I love Dog. I just named him Dog.
But can you pet the dog?
You can play with him, yeah.
We haven't much time.
You also, in the DLC, you get a character named Shale, who is a golem, who hates birds. And you actually find out more about Shale later on through the game. Shale was a dwarf who was part of, like, some ritual to turn her into a golem, and she's sarcastic as fuck. That is my bitch. I love her. You get Sten, who is a Kunari. And Leliana. I love Leliana. She, and a lot of these characters will make appearances in Dragon Age 2, but you get Leliana as a ongoing character in Dragon Age 3 as your spy, not 3, but Inquisition as your spy master. I love all these characters. Like, I like a series when I like all the characters, and the ones that I hate, I really fucking hate. I hated the character Loghain so much that I actually went in and let him live so that I could feed him to the Darkspawn in a later game.
Nice.
I freaking love this game. And it is a bit more of a mature game. It's an M-rated game.
Yes.
But it is just really fun. I mean, you think about this first game being a game from 2009. It doesn't look too bad for being a 10-year-old game. I thought they did a great job with it. And since then, people have done their own high-res mods. Like, they did you've seen the high-res mods for Mass Effect 3 on PC?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. But they've done, there's a massive modding community for this. Like, custom hairstyles and outfits and all kinds of, gorgeous stuff. And there is even a, what's the word I'm trying to think? A graphic Nookie mod for getting it on sexy times with your characters instead of them just standing wearing their underwear. And it really, it's probably, I'd say, one of the best games that came out. I mean, the DLC adds a lot more to it. You also have some crossovers with BioWare's other games. Like in Mass Effect 2, you can get the Blood Dragon armor, which comes directly from this game. So, and as far as the DLC, we had the Stone Prisoner, so that gives you Shale. We had the Warden's Keep that adds the Fortress of Soldier's Peak, and you get a little bit more about the Grey Wardens. Return to Ostagar, which is the first battlefield that you fight on. Then Awakening came out, which was basically the aftermath of Origins, where you have to stop this creature called the Architect, which I think the Architect was the sort of lead-in to the main antagonist for Dragon Age Inquisition. Yeah, the Darkspawn Chronicles, where you basically are playing as the Darkspawn army. And you have Leliana's song, which is, you know, some of her experiences, the Golems of Amgarak, and Witch Hunt, which is where you go look for Morrigan after she, you know, fucks off into, you know, her Alluvion, which is a mere war. It takes you into the Fade, or some intermediary place. It's not really the Fade, it's like an intermediary that kind of works like the Fade. But yeah, this game is great. It's been... I mean, I don't know why people said that the graphics weren't super great, but it was pretty... I mean, they said that a lot of it was really eye-catching, but some people were saying, like I was saying, that, you know, even Ace Me, the Nookie scenes were just really anticlimactic. So, yeah. Tons of mods. And like I said, it has spawned a franchise. There's also a free-to-play game called Heroes of Dragon Age that's on iOS, which I've played for a little bit. And there is another Dragon Age game coming out. We've already seen some teaser information, just a little bit leaked. We know it's going to be set in... I'll say if you haven't read the spoilers and you don't want the spoilers, then I'm not going to say anything about it. I personally was excited. I'll just say it. It's set in Tevinter, which you hear a lot about this place, but you don't really know a lot about it. So I think that it's going to be just really awesome. And I'm glad this game came out because it gave me one of my absolute favorite franchises. But I'd have to say thank you to Mass Effect for getting me into Dragon Age.
All right. Well, I think the video looped. That's all right. So there it is.
I think I can breathe now.
That's fine. Your classic game of the week is Dragon Age. Good pick. Yeah. I have to admit, I never got into Dragon Age as much as I did Mass Effect. And I think for some reason, like,
Questbuster's happy.
I clicked a little more with Inquisition. And I think just maybe some of the upgrades to the actual game part
of it. Questbuster, how could you let Alistair become a drunk?
Anyway.
I made him marry Anora.
Many different ways the story can play out in a game like Dragon Age. And, as Dark Sakura said, Kate Mulgrew in the voice acting cast. You know, the only thing cooler than that I can really think of is Linda Carter in Skyrim. And, I mean, Lindsay Wagner in Death Stranding.
Although she didn't... It's her likeness for the younger version?
Yeah, it's her likeness, yeah.
But her voice for the older version.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Lindsay Wagner, man.
Man.
I love
now, has Leslie Ann Warren ever been in a video game? That's what we need. We need all these television stars of the 70s and 80s to come back. Leslie Ann Warren was awesome. They did a Mission Impossible game years ago, but it was that... Do you remember when ABC did that reboot in the 90s?
Brad from Pod Culture points out that Eve Miles was in... she was actually in Dragon Age 2 as Meryl. I wanted to romance her, and then she pissed me off. So, but yeah, she was Meryl.
All right.
So, anyway.
All right. Hashtag Leslie Ann Warren for epic video game, please. I think that's a very
long.
To
do the Clue MMO.
you know they're doing...
The Clue MMO.
They're doing that. It's not just Clue, though. Obviously, she was Mission Impossible. She did a lot of television movies and stuff back in the day. But,
She-Hulk says Linda Hamilton in Gears 5.
That's awesome. Linda Hamilton's more like a 90s.
She's the only reason I want to see that terrible Terminator movie that came out.
Oh, you actually saw it?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
But I want to see it because I fucking love
it. Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that movie.
Oh, the Terminator Dark Fate
or whatever? It was apparently terrible.
Yeah. Speaking of terrible movies, Dark Sakura and I have...
It's not going to be terrible, though.
We have a Christmas date. We're going to go see Cats. We're going to go see the patched version of Cats.
Okay, so the reason they patched it...
Cat
is
patch.
Actually, because not all of the visual effects had been in the release version. They released the wrong version.
Okay, so there's been a lot of talk on Discord.
I now want to see the unpatched version. That sounds even better.
It's like you could see Judi Dench's hands in one scene.
Everybody's fucking talking about how, here we are, 2019. Now we're patching our movies just like our video games. And it's like, isn't that the tea? Like, we had to, in Cats version 1.1, fixed Judi Dench's hand in the, you know... Jealous old dance.
I want the unpatched version on Blu-ray.
Doesn't Judi Dench play Old Deuteronomy?
She does.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Which actually, I'm kind of interested to see them do Old Deuteronomy in a female role, because Old Deuteronomy on stage was always a male role.
So, yeah, no. Look, well, here's the thing. So, Dark Sakura and I, we have a Christmas date because Dark Sakura is Jewish, so, you know, whatever with Christmas. And our plans that we usually do kind of fell through. But nobody has to truly be alone on Christmas, so Dark Sakura is going to be my...
Christmas buddy. Eve or Christmas Day?
Christmas Day. We're going to go.
Dan and I do our presents on Christmas Eve.
And we've always done things with my dad on Christmas Eve. So... We're still doing that.
If we can also find, though, like an Asian food place that's open, then that has happened too.
But we're going to go see Cats. And yes, we've heard how bad it is. I don't know about you, Dark Sakura, but I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah. I really wanted
to see it. No.
I want to love it in all its badness.
I'm going to sing right along with it.
Here's the thing. I understand that the movie is terrible. Did you know, fun fact, the play that it's based on is also terrible?
No, it's not.
So what were you expecting?
It's not terrible. It was my only play I've ever seen on Broadway. I saw it at the Winter Garden Theater when I was in high school. And you know what they did in the Winter Garden Theater after they got rid of my beloved Cats?
Mamma Mia.
Rocky.
No, that wasn't in the Winter Garden.
That was Winter Garden.
Circle in the Square.
No, I thought that the first place that it played on was Winter Garden after Cats ended.
Did it?
That was Circle Gets the Square?
No, there's a...
I'll double check.
God damn it,
Square
shut
gets
up.
The Circle.
All right, anyway.
Cats is not fucking horrible, so shut the fuck up.
It's bad in a good way. It's one of those... It's cheese ball... Xanadu. It's Xanadu bad. You know
it. It's not bad, though. I mean, no, it really isn't bad. I mean, you have to look at the source material. It was, you know, a T.S. Eliot book that was a bunch of disparate poems about cats. And it's there just to have the spotlight on each cat. That, to me, is what it is. Each cat has our own little spotlight. It shows the playfulness of the animals. It shows, you know, just a little bit of, if you would humanize them, what their lives would be like. I mean, I really just... Well, then again, I am like that with Xanadu, where I like all the parts of it. But I don't even know where my poor CD is. I played it so much and sang with it so much. Cats is not bad. You have to look at it as a sum. So.
And
when
you know.
Go ahead.
No,
it's fine. I'm going to make the stupid joke after you're done.
Okay. Because I was going to say, y'all know, if you don't know, you're going to know. I love the movie Showgirls from the mid-90s.
I was just going to say it's no Showgirls, but yeah.
And here's the thing about Showgirls. Showgirls really truly is one of those movies that, like, it's so bad it's kind of good. But it's one of those movies, like, I could just kind of, like, have on in the background as I'm, like, going about my day.
It's a Christmas movie.
I could be cleaning, you know, or whatever, or getting something organized or something, and then, like, you know, come along and I'll be quoting along with the movie. You know, you don't know shit. Where are you from? Back east. Where back east? Different places. You know, like, it's just, you can just, it's like one of those great, like, background movies. And, you know, there was a point they were trying to make somewhere in there. There was a point to be made in there somewhere.
Didn't they make a sequel to that movie?
What movie?
Showgirls.
Yeah, they did. It's about the girl from, you know, the other dancer. That one guy with the dreads is with, and then it's like about her, and it was not lauded.
Yeah, it don't try to read too much into the plot. Just don't. Although it would have been awesome if they'd made the sequel, because you know the end of the movie was a teaser for the sequel. Because she gets back in. Spoiler alert for Showgirls. But at the end of the movie, she gets back in the car with the hitchhiker that dropped her off in the beginning and then stole her stuff. So she gets back in the car and they're going off, and you see that they're on their way to Hollywood. There's a sign that says Hollywood. Well, the second movie, because justice for Showgirls. There should be a Showgirls 2. The second movie was actually there was a Showgirls 2, but it wasn't the same thing.
Yeah, that was the one about Penny. I couldn't remember her name.
Rena something is the actress's name, and she did it all herself. But anyway, the second movie was going to be a Hollywood parody. And instead, we got Alan Smithy Presents Burn Hollywood Burn, which I'm convinced some of that was the concept for Showgirls 2.
I haven't seen that.
It's like that movie is bad. And period. It's just bad with a period.
I want them to make a sequel to Cats. With all the internet meme cats, like Grumpy Cat, Long Cat. I want to find out what happens to them when we, you know.
All right. Anyhow, so let's move on. Oh, yes, that was all the classic game of the week. Sorry. Tangents, they happen. Let's get into some rapid-fire news and talk about some other things happening around in the game world very quickly, starting off with Loki.
So this is kind of cute. Then if you have a Japanese region Switch, or you happen to have an account in the Japanese region, and you have Labo... or Labo VR cartridge, you can actually play a Christmas-themed Labo minigame with that. It's basically a Santa platformer on rooftops. So that's a little neat thing. Basically, you have to have the Japanese news channel. So you make your free Japanese region Switch account, and you can get it through there. All right, and then in 2020, we've got our first Games with Gold announced. So we have, for Xbox One, Styx, Shards of Darkness, and then we've got Batman the Telltale series, and those are both Xbox One, and then your Xbox 360 compatible games, Tekken 6, and LEGO Star Wars 2, the original trilogy. And that's it.
All right. Well, going to the Switch and Nintendo. Nintendo made a Yule log video because this is the time of year where companies are making Yule log videos.
Yeah.
Like, isn't there like the Overwatch guy, Jeff, just sitting there with a Yule log or something? There's that. Mm. There's Steam has one that's part of their Steam sale right now.
I know. Was it Linus Tech Tips? They did an 8K one.
Yeah. I don't. Anyway. So there's a new Sights and Sounds video that was put out by Nintendo where you can just watch somebody play their Switch for half an hour in front of a fire. Sadly, the Switch is never thrown into the fire because I know you all want to know.
Dark Souls.
Or like a rage thing that happens. Yeah, playing Dark Souls or something. Or like, I can't beat this fucking level in Mario Odyssey. Fuck this thing.
The drift on these controllers is so bad that it makes me want to throw them into the fire.
Speaking of Steam, yes, the winter sale just recently kicked off this past week. It's running concurrently with the Steam Awards thing. So there's lots of games on sale there through Thursday, January 2nd is when that ends. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that are, you know, going like supermarket sweep and shoving their cart full of hams right now and whatever like cheap video games they're wanting to catch up on. Something to keep in mind, like you said earlier in the show, Humble Bundle.
Yeah, and I just didn't do that because I was looking for a certain game for my son on the Switch, Trials Rising, because he likes playing the demo for PlayStation 4, and I'm not moving the PlayStation 4 into his room. So I got it for him on his PC, and so I gifted it to him in Steam because I know he'll never get it before Christmas because he never opened Steam ever, so
nice.
We'll be fine there.
We'll be fine. Good. So there's that. And then the Epic Store is doing a sale as well. They are also giving away 12 free games, one each day. And I'm actually kind of pissed off. I missed the first couple days because Super Hot was one of the games.
I already have it, but
I didn't have that yet.
I missed it yesterday, too.
Towerfall Ascension was one of the games, too.
That was, 2 days ago. And today
I got today's
Little Inferno.
Yeah, Little Inferno was today.
Which I already have on like all these platforms.
Yeah, so
still haven't played it.
I feel like it's one of those things where like the last one will be a big one. You know, I mean, Epic Store gave away
Fortnite.
The Epic Store gave away those Batman games not that long ago. Those are some great games.
Yeah.
Like, you've never played them, so
yeah. You know, my Epic library is getting quite large because of all those free games.
Yeah, considering I've never spent a penny on that store, I have a lot of games.
Well, they also have the thing right now, not to start pimping Epic stuff, but if you want a game that's $14.99 or above, they'll give you $10 off.
Yeah, that's their sale instead of because you know Steam makes the mini game out of it and all that stuff. So Epic
they still have stuff discounted too, but it's
But Epic and you know okay, so since we've been talking them up, let me knock them down a few pegs. The Epic Store still kind of sucks in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah,
like the fact that they don't have the prepaid cards and that whole thing, and the fact you know that it's still kind of a bare bones thing. So I mean, the fact that they're doing a bare bones sale isn't too terribly surprising at the end of that. So.
I can't use V-Bucks on the Epic Store. I mean, that is their currency for Fortnite, so.
I don't think so. VidPower is saying Super Hot was on Twitch Prime earlier this year. Did I miss it? I must have. I don't remember.
Like, I ever play any of the games I have through Twitch Prime anyways. I know I have a library there, too, and I couldn't tell you what's on it.
I know, right? So, hey, is there a gift thing on Twitch Prime right now? Maybe we need to open up the box. We haven't done that in a few weeks. So, and since Bobby's there and paying attention, maybe, because it doesn't work. So here's what the deal is. I'm logged into my account here, so I can't actually open the box because that is something that happens on the VOG. I have to be on VOG account to open the box. That's why I always yell at Bobby. Thank you, Bobby, open the box. And it's a League of Legends mystery skin this week. So that's something that some folks might actually want. So
a free Grubhub
I'm going to
just
throw in some stuff into there as well. You know, they kind of stopped giving away games on Twitch.
Yeah, it's
Prime.
A lot of this. Learn more. And I'm like, I don't want to learn. I just want free things.
Oh, there's also, speaking of which, there's a Discord/Xbox thing going on right now. So if you have Xbox, I think it's Game Pass. Maybe it's Xbox Gold. Sorry, I don't remember off the top of my head. It's because I have both. It's one of the Xbox things. You can get 3 months of Discord Nitro. So you can like boost the VOG server. No, we need a lot of boost to get to the next level. But and it goes the other way around too. If you have Discord Nitro, you can get free Xbox Game Pass for like 3 months or something like that. So yeah, check that out. It's Game Pass Ultimate. Thank you. So check that out if you're on one or the other, the Discord or Xbox thing, because that is a thing that's pretty nice. So and 1 month of EA access through the Xbox thing as well. That's right. I need to turn that on. I'm trying to think what's on EA Access that I might want to play, but I'm sure there's probably the new Need for Speed game, actually. I'd check that out. So, cool. All right. Let's move on. And Dark Soccer, you have some rapid-fire news, too.
I do. So, and Dan and I actually watched this, and we were all kind of giddy about it. New Stern Pinball, Stranger Things. Did you watch the preview?
No.
They had the premium version up there. Oh, my God. The play field is great. It has... like a drive-in projection screen on it.
I was asked, how do they do the upside down? Do they do like a Creature from the Black Lagoon type
thing? So you get like, there's, I think it's one of the modes where the screen actually breaks apart. And there's like the portal behind it that you have to shoot the balls into. Like the, almost like the mouth entrance into the upside down. And then you have like the ball catch on the back wall is magnetic. It is fucking sweet. So you lock your balls on a magnetic catch on the back wall.
Huh.
And they sit on the side of the wall. And then when multi-ball starts, it releases them. I think they're showing a premium on the preview. But, I mean, the animation was great. You get that ramp that's used to attack the Demogorgon when mm-hmm. it goes to swallow the pinball. And the projection that goes out also animates different targets, including some pop-ups, the spinner. And it's just really, really involved. I really think Stern is doing great. I just want to see who the designer is.
Bobby's actually saying in chat, my friend, who I'm assuming must have worked on this, is really upset because this actually leaked. They were all under embargo, and some asshat posted the trailer on their personal YouTube channel, and all the other outlets ran with it.
Yeah, well, it's been removed from the link I have here.
Once on the internet, always on the internet.
But I'll tell you.
At least the reception is really positive. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, a small plus for what it's worth.
Well, and the thing about it is that having that little leak actually makes me way more excited. I'm really looking forward to this one. It might end up being one that we get in our house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I probably would still like a Black Knight Sword of Rage just a little bit more because, you know, Steve worked really hard on it and Steve Ritchie is a great guy. I just want to know, though, who the main designer for this was because I'm not seeing anything.
Bobby says the friend works for a media site. He had a real preview in the works for the clicks, but it was under embargo. I get it. So somebody cut all the other press outlets off the kneecaps basically by leaking it to YouTube. I get it.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, yikes.
But at any rate, though, it looks amazing. It really is like this is what pinball has come to, and I'm quite pleased with it. You know. This is
that's pretty cool.
This is honestly enough what I think Pinball 2000 should have been. I mean, the video screen aspect to it was pretty cool, but I like having these more interactive elements. Like, you know, for example, like Dialed In had its cell phone on there and everything, and you had like the video game, like the Tron game on the playfield and everything. I love this interactive, you know, element that changes its dynamic for every gameplay. It's going to be different. And I'm really, really super excited about it. I think it's going to be amazing.
Cool. All right. And one more, right?
Yeah. So the soundtracks for Soul Blade and Soul Calibur are streamable now. So it looks like that you can, I mean, get them on pretty much any service, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, you name it. Napster's still around? Shit. but you look for Namco Sounds, and that's the series that it's under. We had the Soul Blade soundtrack. We have the Soul Calibur soundtrack, come to think of it. We had them on CD, but that was like that whole Edge of Soul long version was so amazing. It was so good. But yeah, go get them. They're free. Yeah. Well, free with your rental of the service. So.
And I think like if you had like Soul Calibur 2, like Brave Edge, Braver Soul, I think is the name of it, shows mm-hmm. up in a lot of other Namco games, like music games, Taiko, Nutatches and Song and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the series always had an epic soundtrack to it. So now you can have epic music for when you're driving down the freeway.
Good Don't times. Get me driving with Edge of Soul playing because I will speed.
All right. Last chance to if you're participating live on Twitch, this is your last chance to contribute to the community gift chest. I'm going to ask Bobby to hit the button after we're done with release dates to make it rain. So that'll be after we do this in a minute there. So, all right, let's move on to release dates. And I think this will be a quick segment here. So, Loki.
You don't say. So this week we only have one game coming out, and it's Brain Age, Nintendo Switch Training. In the U.S.?
I didn't know they ever confirmed that that was even happening in the U.S.
Apparently it is.
Sorry, I just got excited for a minute there. Those Brain Age games were fun. They were silly, but they were fun. Wow. Okay, cool. I didn't know it was happening here. That's great. All right, well, let's travel to Japan and check out what else is coming out there. So there are a few more releases in Japan because it's a little different the way the holidays work. So we get the Brain Training in Japan as well on December 27th. That is the thing that's happening. On December 25th, you can check out Atelier Dusk Trilogy Deluxe Pack.
Maybe it's only going to be like digital over here or something like that.
Yeah, maybe that's the deal. I don't know. So anyway, but those are the big releases on the Switch this week. And then if we look at the PlayStation 4, on the PlayStation 4, those Atelier games and the Trilogy Pack, that is also happening in Japan this week. So it is a slower week. I mean, they have Christmas in Japan. It's just not quite like the whole entire world stops like it does here in Japan, right? It's more of it's a cake celebration, right? There's a Christmas cake.
Yeah, I have like a strawberry white cake.
Yes, it looks delicious. I'd love to have a Christmas cake. Anyhow, how about the UK, Dark Sakura?
No. Like, seriously, no.
Nothing coming out in the UK?
No, nothing on there until January 2nd, which is Brain Training.
Anakuma JP is actually in chat saying, yes, no holiday. And then Jijirama S says, it's kind of big in Japan, especially with KFC. So I wonder if it's one of those things where, like, they're just playing into the rest of the world. Yeah, it's like a marketing type of thing. Kind of like, I'm trying to think of an equivalent that we do in the Cinco de Mayo.
But,
right?
But KFC is a thing.
Yeah, no, I know.
And Christmas cake.
I know.
That's what we should do. Let's have KFC.
On Christmas?
On Christmas.
Is that even open?
We'll find
one that's open.
You know what I would prefer, though, to KFC would be Jollibee. Jollibee is fucking amazing.
Isn't there a Jollibee in Elk Grove?
Yeah. South Sac.
You have to see if it's open.
I used to, when I would have to go to the doctor, I would actually go pick up my lunch from Jollibee and go to work with it.
Okay, so I would have to say the only equivalent I can think of then would be Cinco de Mayo. It's not a holiday at all here, but we completely appropriate it.
And fuck it up.
And fuck it up. And it's just, it becomes tequila holiday and all this, you know, that's
and to quote the meme, do you ever go, what the fuck, white people, even though you are white people?
Oh, you know what? ACTF just mentioned this too. It's Cinco de Mayo is like not even that big a holiday in Mexico either.
Well, honestly, it's like Hanukkah. Hanukkah's not a fucking big holiday. It's not even in Torah.
No, you're right. You're right. That's a good
example. It's in an apocryphal tale in the Tale of the Maccabees. But it's culturally significant because it had to do with reclaiming the temple from Rome. So, just saying.
Well, and it's also, I mean, let's be real. It's also so that the Jewish kids don't feel left out on Christmas. That's a big part of it.
It's made a big deal because of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if the game's coming out in the U.S. now. Because I even looked on, it made me curious. So, I checked on Nintendo's site and they don't even list it as a title coming out.
Okay, so maybe somehow because it snuck onto that list because
it is coming out in the UK, though, on the 3rd of January.
Huh. Interesting. All right. Okay. Well, that's it for release dates. So, Bobby, make it rain, please, when you hear this message. And we'll give out those gifts in the community gift chest. So enjoy for those of you League of Legends players. I'm sure you guys will appreciate that. Okay, so let's go to the mailbag. Every week, you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungetrader.com is the place to send us emails. And I think we have one or two tonight.
One.
All right.
Which I'm trying to get back to because I'm now explaining Hanukkah to people. We have one from Martin from Belgium, who we haven't heard from for a long time. Hello, OLR. Martin from Belgium here. I just wanted to wish you all a happy belated 800th birthday.
Thank you.
I have to say I really appreciate you guys always being there on the podcast to cheer up my Monday mornings. Listening to the podcast is like comfort food for my ears, especially when I am having a bad day. Thank you so much and keep up the great work. Martin from Belgium. I like saying his name.
That's no question. No.
No.
Just feeling love. The love. Thank you. Well, that is a holiday gift in itself. Thank you so much.
And that's it. No more emails.
Wow. All right. Are you going to have some of Azette's nuts?
I was going to have some of Azette's nuts, yes.
Yeah, they're good. They're delicious nuts. All right. Anyway, for those on the podcast, he's actually got the little bag of they're candied pecans in reality, right?
They're praline pecans.
Pralines. It's the type. It's like a pie without the crust. Is really what it
and the gooiness.
Yeah, exactly.
I am still working on my latkes, by the way.
Yeah,
that's how long it takes me to eat anything now.
It is good stuff. Anyway, ooh, I feel so fat. All right, let's move on. We got some more news to get to, and then we'll see if anyone wants to call in via our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/Discord. So, whoops, I've been slacking off on the sidebar there. So we're done with release dates. We're done with the mailbag. Let's get to the next story, Loki.
All right. So this is a pretty cool, like, unnecessary update, but it's something that was added to No Man's Sky. And it's these little music synthesizers that you can actually put your own music in. So basically, it allows you to kind of make different musical tracks. What the hell are you doing over there?
I'm hoarding the nuts.
Stop fondling the nuts over there. So you can actually kind of actually put out your own set of chords and stuff in there to be able to make your own tracks. And then you can link several of them together to actually make music. So that's what people have been doing, is making music with them. And then on top of that, you can also wire them to different lights and effects to kind of synchronize everything. And so, of course, people use it to like make all sorts of cool music things. They've also done like little like dance club type stuff in there. But it's pretty sweet and free. Can't complain with free, so it'd be interesting to see how creative people get with this.
My, how far this game has come.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a story of the decade of sorts. You know, just this game coming out, and it's just the whipping boy of the entire community, and now the place that it's at is just, you know, this big supreme creative outlet. It's so interesting. So I need to get back in. I keep seeing it in my Steam library taunting me, like, oh, come play this game.
Oh, yeah, I bought that on Steam, too.
Get in on that, because
I forgot all about it.
Alan was playing it hella for a little bit, too, and the two of us have our little bases on a planet somewhere, so come find us in the universe. We're somewhere. All right.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, too.
Hmm.
Oh, wow, all these games that they're like, hey, you bought this back here, and you haven't really played it. Like Mosh Pit Simulator. Totally forgot I bought that.
Oh, how Steam tells you about all
Duck
the games.
DuckTales Remastered. Don't remember buying that, but I have it. There's No Man's Sky.
There you go. Well, a game that I know you've been a little better about playing is Pokemon Go. And we have some information about things that have updated in Pokemon Go. So if you haven't played that in a little while.
I've been doing that.
You might have missed a few things. The big holiday edition that they put into the game was expanding the Buddy Adventure. So now you no longer just walk your buddy for candy. Your buddy plays a role basically with you, and you can actually feed them berries, and it'll grow. They'll get hearts from that, and you increase your friendship level with the buddy Pokemon. And as you increase that level, you get certain perks. For example, the Pokemon may try to help you catch Pokemon in the wild. Your buddy Pokemon will also increase its CP. So you have to get a 4-star buddy for that to actually happen, for you to actually get an increase in the amount that they battle. But you can do all sorts of things. You can take the buddy into AR mode and you play with it by scratching under its chin or whatever, and it will be happy and reward you with hearts. And it'll follow you around on the map too, which is really cool. So it's kind of a throwback to when Pikachu would follow you around.
But I have a really shitty buddy right now that I only was walking with just to get some more candies.
Yeah, that's the only bummer, is that now I'm not walking stuff to get candy to evolve anymore. Now I'm like, oh, I want to walk my 100% Tyranitar, so when I need to sub him in, he'll have that increased CP. that's what I'm doing now. So that's kind of a fun thing. But then what I think is also really cool, and this just came out within the past couple days, now they have a this whole thing, this AR kit, and I haven't been able to play with this yet, but apparently now you can take pictures of your buddy and your buddy's buddy at the same time in the same space. So it's this AR plus where now – so I guess, you know, and you're starting to see some of this in Minecraft Earth as you're playing it, is that the things you're doing can affect other people too. So now Pokemon Go is doing that a little bit with the Pokemon. So that's really cool. So – Yeah, and there's a whole little trailer and that shows off the Buddy adventures, and it honestly makes the world look like Detective Pikachu, where everybody has a – because, right, in Detective Pikachu, like, everybody has a Buddy Pokemon.
Right. Right.
So if you could pick any Pokemon as your Buddy Pokemon IRL, who would your Buddy Pokemon be?
I don't know.
Espeon.
Espeon? Ooh, good pick. Why?
Because it's pretty. Although I do like Makuhita, who I would just, like, take a nap on. So, yeah, Espeon.
Honestly, it's hard to not say Jigglypuff. Like, I just, I relate with Jigglypuff on a scale. So, I think Jigglypuff would be mine. I'm looking in chat for some comments. VG Realness says Butterfree. ActDef says Vulpix. Akuma says Kabigon, which I don't know which one that translates to in the U.S. Bonds 006 says Geodude. Bobby Blackwolf says, I'm still walking a Magikarp. Hey, I've seen people use Magikarp as their buddy. You know, increase that friendship level and then evolve it into a super Magikarp.
Kabigon is Snorlax.
Gyarados.
Thank you, Rob. Gyarados. Why can't I remember?
Kabigon is Snorlax.
Oh, Snorlax is super cute, too. I have 100% Snorlax, and that'll probably be the one I do after my Tyranitar.
Did you see that big Snorlax beanbag bed?
Yes.
Want.
So cute. All right. Anyhow, those are some updates in Pokemon Go. Dark Sakura, this game just keeps delivering week after week.
The
literally,
gift that keeps on giving.
Literally, we just talked about this last week.
We did, so that's why I wanted to bring it up again, but more. So, Lance McDonald, Modder Extreme, has finally gotten us out of the endless hallway of PT. And took us onto the streets of Silent Hill. So, which, I mean, he's the same one who brought up the stuff that you talked about last week about Lisa following you and that you are playing as Norman Reedus as a character, you know. But to do what he did, there were a few discoveries in there. I've watched the video a couple of times last night. There's some really just cool stuff going on with it. So what happens is... The hallway and the town exist on two different maps, and your link is going to be from that main little room that you start off with. So what he did was rekey that intro room, that basement room, to let you out onto the streets. Now, the first discovery is that the floor has no collision detection. You fall right through it, but guess what happens? Lisa comes and eats you. Like what happens if she catches you in the house. So it's, I guess, to prevent you from, like, if you've inadvertently ended up on the map by some glitch, you know, other than doing it on purpose, then it's to prevent your game from softlocking or whatever. So so what he did is he programmed in, like, a float so that your character floats above the ground. So you go out and on the street, and it's just really exploring just how highly detailed these streets are. Like, you do get, like, behind a van, and some of the cars are textured as well, but, like, he floated up to the balcony and showed a full street scene, and it was just really intense. I mean, and it's a good, like, 3 blocks of distance that's rendered.
Yeah.
And your final barrier is, like, literally a fence at the end of it, although it looks like you can go around the fence, but it's a full game barrier.
But it's also interesting because it points out that trailer you essentially see at the end of the game is being rendered in the game engine. It's mm-hmm. not like a cutscene or something.
And
it's...
on top of that, you have that blood trail right at the beginning of it. It has a lot of clutter in the environment, so it's like all these props. It made me think that this was actually part of what was actually started to be rendered for Silent Hills.
For sure. And Bobby in chat says they were probably building that out for the full game. Absolutely.
It's definitely worth everyone finding that trailer and watching it. But it was found by Lance McDonald. The handle on Twitter is ManFightDragon. And one of the things is that someone asked him, how many jump scares did Lisa get with you for the making of this video? And his response was, she does the jump scare anytime you mess with the player location without applying a special fix to make the game think you're on the ground. It's hard to predict, and I screamed multiple times while getting a few of the overhead camera shots for the video.
That's interesting that they kind of built in the Lisa thing, like just in case someone got out. But somebody kind of found a workaround that. That's really neat.
Yeah, it still freaking creeps me out, though.
Man, and everybody still wonders, like, where is this game we never did get to see? You know, it's just it's sad.
It's unmade.
So it's sad.
What I would like to see is that instead of having, because I think that the, I don't know if people are actually able to pull the legit assets for it for the Mac and PC, you know, simulations of PT that they did. But I would like for people to pull more of these resources and actually, like, make something with it. It would be nice, you know. This is what could have been. And my hope is that whatever this horror thing that Kojima has in mind, that it's going to be a true spiritual successor to the Silent Hill franchise.
I would call Konami will sue.
Well, I mean, and I talked about this already on the show, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I just want it to be true that Konami is just going to realize that there's more money to be had by just letting somebody else borrow the IP and make a good game with it and just trying to mend the fences and make it happen. But I'm not going to hold my breath either.
There's a lot more drama. If you go watch the theories behind representation in PT, there's a lot that correlates to Kojima's experience there and him trying to leave clues to bypass his NDA without doing it. And, I mean, it is a little bit conspiracy theorist, you know, talk, but a lot of it does make sense, especially with what we know now after the fact. And the whole thing with Konami is that he was the only, I think, person on their board that wasn't, like, one of the, like, original or in the family or something about it. So he was always seen as an outsider amongst the powers that be at Konami. So definitely, if I can find that thing, the little video that I found before, I will try to post it up on my Twitter at Dark Sakura.
Cool. All right. Well, just a few more stories for you guys before we get to Discord. Loki.
All right. So we were talking about Stadia a little bit ago and how there's not really a whole ton of things coming out on Stadia. Well, they're hoping to change that. So now Google is actually planning on beefing up their library by purchasing some studios. So they've done this with Typhoon Studios. And Typhoon Studios, of course, is an indie studio that's created by some veterans from other games that you might know, including Batman Arkham City, Far Cry 4, and the such. They're planning on releasing their first game, Journey to the Savage Planet. And they're going to be joining existing Stadia Games and Entertainment Studio in Montreal. So no word on what exactly they're going to be developing, but it is going to be some new games for Stadia, which is good because right now we only know of one kind of exclusive game and don't really know much about it and don't know when the hell it's coming up.
VG Realness in our chat saying, my question to Google and Stadia, why did they not have these studios planned out already? Seems like an afterthought. Yeah, unless Google is, you know, committing to the long game here with this, which, you know, we still don't know if we
maybe
can trust them to do that.
They were hoping for more third-party support and just didn't get it.
So now they got to go buy their own?
Maybe.
Maybe. That could be a part of it. And, yeah, I mean, you know, you saw Microsoft making these moves a couple years ago, and now we're gonna see that payoff next year, hopefully. Fingers crossed. I mean, I'm expecting big things for Microsoft for E3, so we'll see what happens with that, so... Do you think they might bring Scalebound back? That rumor always shows its face in one way or another. All right. It was worth asking. All right. One more story for you guys, and it's about yet another TV service. Oh, this is one that I don't have. We were trying to talk about because Dark Sakura wanted to borrow my CBS for reasons. And she's like, well, do you have Netflix? Yep, I have Netflix. Do you have Hulu? Yep, I have Hulu because Alan gets the Hulu. And so I'm – like it's, I feel like nobody has CBS. I have the CBS because I got it for Star Trek and maybe to watch Trashy Big Brother. At least, it was really bad this last year. I didn't watch it this last year, but it's also how I catch up on Survivor sometimes. But anyway, Apple TV, one of the other services out there, I haven't heard a lot about except for apparently that newsroom show that they have is apparently really good. A lot of people talking about it. And they're going to be having another show. What's that have to do with video games? Because they're going to be having another show coming out on February 7th, and it is a video game spoof show. It's called Mythic Quest, not Mystic Quest, but Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet. And there's going to be 9 episodes that will be released on February 7th. And what I think is kind of interesting about it, you know, you might be kind of rolling your eyes like, oh, God, video game parody. But the creators of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia Rob McElhenney and Charlie
Day. Did we hear about this? We've heard about this already.
I think so, but now we're getting something that it's coming out February 7th. We know that it's coming out, and it's I don't think we knew it was Apple TV before. Maybe we
Yes, we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so there's that, because It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is one of those shows that's kind of like, I'm laughing so hard at this, even though it's like kind of terrible, but like in a really funny way. So
I know. I hope it's like
that. I hope it's funny like that, but we'll see. Also, some of the people that are in this is what's also kind of weird about this. Some of the people that are involved with it, I want to say, David Hornsby is in this from Philadelphia, the movie. I don't remember what part that was. But also in this show, F. Murray Abraham is in this show. Like, F. Murray Abraham's got to be in his 70s. He was in, like, Amadeus, right? So, I don't know. It's anyway.
Yeah, because this was something that was part of that Ubisoft Motion Pictures company thing.
Yeah,
so they talked about it during their E3 press conference.
And video game actress Ashley Birch from Horizon Zero Dawn and Life is Strange is also going to be involved with this. So... that'll be interesting. It was an E3 announcement. Azette is asking, is this the Guild ripoff?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I've never watched the Guild, so I don't know.
I've seen some of the Guild. It was cute. I saw the earlier episodes, kind of like before it was everywhere. I mean, not to sound hipster about it, but that's the reality. I saw it when you could download the episodes on Xbox 360. That's when I saw
I was watching Guild. It on YouTube. So, back in the day.
All right. So there it is, the news for tonight. So if you want to give us a call, you can join our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord in the green room. Or you can just ask a question. If you have a general question you'd like to put out in chat, you can do that. Otherwise, we'll talk amongst ourselves for a little bit. I'm going to ask if there's any last minute stories, although I know
we're
scraping the barrel as it is this week. So... there is that.
Oh, here's a clickbait rumor.
Oh, no. All right. Fine. Well, fine. No, no calls in queue means rumors. Let's do them.
There's a rumor that Sumo Digital's working on Crackdown 4.
Interesting, when Crackdown 3 seems like it wasn't well received at the end of the day. So, you know what's funny? Speaking of games that weren't well received, I thought of you, Loki, today, because I was going through the PlayStation Store. And I saw Agents of Mayhem for sale for $4. And I was
not even worth it for that price.
Yikes.
I will not play that game. It looks so terrible.
Azette wants to know who's watched The Witcher on Netflix.
Not yet.
I intended to today and didn't get around to it. So soon. Azette, you liked it though, right? Dark Tetsuya says just the first episode, and Azette says liked it. So apparently the critics hated it though.
Well, they don't count.
Well, the one review I was reading where they gave it an F was like, we didn't even bother to watch every episode. And I was kind of like, isn't that kind of...
fucking idiots.
Shitty? Like, isn't that like what you're supposed to not do? At least they said so in the article, so you can take it.
So that means their opinion doesn't count.
Yeah. So. But then a lot of the same stuff's happening with Star Wars, right? Like, a lot of critics don't like it. But I feel like audiences are really divided. Like, I've heard people that are like, I love it.
Most of the people I talk to say they love it.
I've heard a few that are like, I don't love it. I don't, you know what? I'm not even going to, I'll say it next week when I don't have to be as like crazy about spoilers. I haven't seen it, but just kind of like something I've heard about it. And I don't want to even remotely go into spoilers, but maybe in a week after all the hardcore fans have seen it, I'll do very light spoilers. So, but I won't do that tonight because I know people are hypersensitive about spoilers and some people might be waiting until Christmas. So, well, I can see that we have one of our favorite spoilers waiting in the green room right now. So let's see if we can get them on the show right now. Hi there. You're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, it's Jim Sally trying to figure out how to shut off his other thing that's talking.
Hey, I'm back.
Hey, Jim Sally. It's good to hear from you. It's a holiday miracle to have you here on the show.
Oh, isn't it, man? Sunday nights are tough to chat with you sometimes, brother.
They're tough for you.
Well, I get my fucking Sunday nights when I get my shit together, you know? Family gets together, we eat big meals, and we fucking pass out on the couch, man. I do pass out listening to you guys sometimes, snuggling away. It's hard.
How are you going to spend your holiday week? Is there lots of snuggling planned for your holiday week?
There's lots of snuggling planned for the holiday week. The kids are in the house. Unfortunately, we had my little girl had a long story short, she got a therapy cat to help her with some emotional issues, and the poor thing passed away with some kidney failure at like 7 weeks. 7 weeks old. We had him for 7 weeks, and the poor cat passed away. Aww. It's so sad. But we live in a small town, so we just went on Facebook, and it was like, boom, a week later, new cat. Bam. You know what I mean? You make a little ofrenda for the old cat, you know? I gave her some, I got it. Listen, don't tell her. I told her I got it cremated, but I just took it.
Okay. Wait, but is there, I thought you were whispering because maybe there might be a holiday miracle with a new cat?
No, she already got the new cat. I just picked it up. Like, so that's what we're doing this week. We're snuggling a new little black kitten.
Got it.
Man, it's weird. It's weird the things you do for little kids, man. Because I'm telling you right now, there's no fucking way farm boy Jim Sally was going to let a goddamn cat shit in a box inside my house. This fucking thing shits in a box inside my house and then looks to me like I owe it a treat. Fuck you, man.
The things you do for little kids. How about the things you do for 40-year-old men? Like, Alan and I have a cat, it's just off camera where his potty is. Like, it's right on the other side of the wall.
Dude, I'm telling you, 40, man. You want to hear something crazy?
Huh?
Jim Sally's hitting that 40 bell next month, man.
Well, happy you believe that shit? Happy early birthday to you. Hey, you know what? Like, 40 is kind of like, it's a whatever. Like, honestly, turning 40 was a big whatever for me. Because, like, for all the hype and all the talk about, like, oh, my God, when you turn 30, like, if you don't have X, Y, Z accomplished and, like, all these things that, you know, like, our parents put that type of pressure on us, then, like, you're a horrible failure. And as it turns out, like, my 30s, I didn't really have any of those things you were supposed to have. And, like, my 30s overall were actually a lot better than my 20s. Like, in my 20s, I was still, like, I was, like, weird.
You know what?
And I feel like in my 30s, I finally got my shit together.
My mom never gave me shit because you know what I would turn around and say? Hmm. How old were you when you had me?
It's so interesting that we come from, like, two extremes, right? Your mom had you at a very relatively
17.
Young age. And my mom had me. Yeah, my mom had me at 38, which in the 70s was a very old age to be having children. Like, I know nowadays what Janet Jackson had a kid at 50. What's her name from Flavor
so much
Love?
For Let's Wait a While.
But that's she's having a kid at 50 with shit like targeted MRI and fucking prenatal drugs and stuff, man.
True.
Your mama doing that shit in the 70s, man?
No.
Tylenol?
No.
They had Tylenol? And you were allowed to smoke when you were
pregnant.
Here's
the crazy thing about that. They were told in the 60s, they were told that they couldn't have kids. So they adopted and they tried and they didn't. And so they adopted. They just went to adoption. They adopted my brother and my sister. And then
– good for them.
And they weren't even trying. Years later, out of the blue, like just – like they did not think we were going to have a kid or we're trying – just – it just fucking happened. Hi, here I am. So I was a surprise. Surprise.
I was a surprise too.
So – but we were two very different types of surprises.
I think there were drugs involved with me.
Yeah. Well – no?
I know my daddy was doing some acid.
Oh. Oh, and Pixel Paca saying, I didn't know that, Rob. My mom had me at 37. Yep.
In a row?
So, now I'm thinking, oh, my God. Like, I'm older than my mom was when she had me, and I still don't have kids. But I'm like, okay, I made peace with it. Like, I kind of don't want them at this point.
I didn't have kids, and guess what? Now I can't. Huh. On purpose.
Other people's kids are great. I can appreciate Loki's children from a distance.
I hung out with Julian today.
I can appreciate him from a distance as well.
I hung out with Julian.
God,
I decided
damn,
that he's graduated from
fun.
Being Mr. Boy to Young Sir.
Oh.
He's going to be 13 next year.
Well, here you go. Sorry, Jim Sally. We somehow derailed the Jim Sally train with a tangent train of our own. Ha ha.
Yeah, that lever. Man.
So technically it's a gaming show, so I should ask you, are there any games you've been playing lately?
I finally got to the end of Fallout 4. Now, I think it's an old game, so I can spoil the ending a little bit at this stage in the game, have a little chit-chat. I don't think it's fine. If you haven't beat Fallout 4 yet by now, people, fuck off. Okay?
Right.
Okay? No, at the end of in the middle of the game, you find out that this dude, who's an old man running the Institute, is actually your son from a long time ago. And he was kind of fucking me around a little bit. And then at the end, he's in a chair. And I did the Jim Sally thing that I haven't done for a long time. in a follow game. I stabbed him in the belly as many times as I could before he had a chance to say a word, just to see what would happen. And he died. and then I beat the game, and it was all like wars, shit, war. Don't have a war. You walk with your dog or whatever. Like, fuck that shit. And now I finally come back to the Fallout that I love. And I just marauder my way from town to town, murdering people, murdering them. And you know what I found out? There's this thing called God mode they put on some of the characters. Did you know about this?
No, because I barely played any Fallout.
I don't know about this because I have mods.
Some characters you could stab in the face for days, and they just take it and come back for more.
Yeah, I imagine they're characters that are essential to completing the story and stuff, like they can't die.
It's very unsatisfying. It's very unsatisfying. And one night I was wearing my headphones, stabbing an old man in the face repeatedly on the ground while he just cried. I was there for a good solid 30 seconds of face stabbing. A good solid, maybe fucking make like a good shivving, you know what I mean? A good shivving. Good shivving, right? So I'm shivving this guy. I'm fucking shivving him. And then I realize mid-shiv that my 4-year-old Daniel is right behind me watching me shiv this fucker in the face. And he doesn't really know what's going on because I'm wearing headphones, right? Because I don't want to wake them up with the shivings. With the shivings late at night. So he asked, what are you doing, Daddy? The only thing I could think of was to say, I'm trying to brush his teeth. he says, what? Why? Why? I said, because he didn't brush his teeth and he was a little boy, Daniel. Now look at his mouth. It's all gross and I gotta fix his teeth. And I'm telling you, that kid brushes those teeth to a mirror shine now when he gets up in the morning.
Oh, my God.
I thought he bought an electric toothbrush. I went upstairs, motherfucker had my Dremel out, mirror shine. I said, shit. And that's why, people, it's important to, you know, play video games with your kids responsibly and wear headphones.
That was possibly the best holiday lesson we'll ever learn here on Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you so much for that. I was going to say, like, who hasn't done, like, fucked up things in video games? Like, that's what Loki lives for. Loki lives for those games that you can do fucked up things, right? And, like...
Yeah, usually.
Even I admit, like, when I first played The Elder Scrolls Oblivion, I'm going back to the one that was, an Xbox 360 launch title.
Oh, yes.
Like, the minute you could stab the king, I tried it. Like, you know, yes. And I got killed by those guards real fast, but, yeah.
Well, fuck you, Patrick Stewart.
I just wanted to see if
fuck
I could
you,
do
Patrick
it.
Patrick Stewart.
Have fuck you ever him. Done it as an accident? Like, you meant to hit the button to talk to them, and instead you, you hit the button for Fusroda, and it's and I'm like, oops, sorry. Didn't mean to do that. I don't know my own strength.
No, I usually play the game with all sorts of exploits in place. I did play with mods on as well before, but like I've played a vanilla, but just exploiting the game through the vanilla means, like, you know, finding the merchant chest hidden, because there's like, you can go to, you know, in Skyrim you can go to, I can't remember what it's called now, one of the towns though, and you can easily access the merchant chest and just steal all their stuff out of there and then sell it back to them. And then you kill them, and then you reload, and then you can do it again and again and again. And you get infinite money.
Pocket their body, yeah, exactly.
And then do the enchantment potions and spells, and you get to the point where your armor, you have like a carry weight of, you know, infinite amount of items, and just crashes the game because it can't store them.
Can't do it. Jim Sally, hey, I'm gonna let you go so we can wrap up the show. But before we do, I have to ask you, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, man. My New Year resolution this year is to really try to set some time aside to, start a little archive or something. I got to get my shit together. I just got to find a better than Sunday night at fucking midnight to get it going. So I'll probably start looking for help. Some point.
All right. Well, I bet you have a chat room full of people here who love your phone calls that would be happy to help. However, we can't. And for what it's worth, all of these episodes of the show are archived. So someday when your kid is 18, you can play him the clip of Daddy teaching him to brush his teeth.
Can you imagine? The psychiatric bills alone.
I can't wait for Loki's kids to be old enough to understand this show.
I'm this old and don't understand this show.
Fair enough. All right.
Happy holidays, bitches. I'm talking
all right.
To
happy
year.
Holidays, Jim Sally. Thanks for the call. Take care, my friend.
Later, brother.
Always great to hear from you. Bye bye. That was a treat. That was a holiday miracle right there. All right. I think on that note, we will start to wrap things up here. Unless Loki found any other last minute stories worth mentioning.
It wasn't really worth mentioning, but just as people figured out that Sasha Grey is also now a YouTube game streamer and stuff like that on Twitch as well.
Who?
Sasha Grey, the porn star.
Who?
Yeah. She's done things.
I mean.
She's done like non-porn things.
Would I know them?
I don't know. She's pretty mainstream.
Okay.
But like everyone's like, oh my God, what? It's a girl that's naked sometimes that likes games like me, like a human being. Oh my God. People like human things.
Imagine it's that. Stupid. Fancy that.
I know. It's just so ridiculous. This
real, celebrities, they're real
that
people
we live
too.
In.
Who knew?
It's like, who cares?
All right. Anyhow, on that note, just see, we had Jim Sally call, pornography. I think we're good. We're going to wrap up, and I hope everybody has a great holiday week, no matter what it is you celebrate. I'm sure most of you are in the Christmas camp or the Hanukkah camp, just because I haven't heard the other ones really coming up in chat. But whatever it is that you're celebrating, I hope you have a wonderful week. And, you know, I hope if you're doing family stuff, I hope family stuff is great. If you don't have a lot of family stuff going on, I hope friends stuff is great. If you don't have a lot of either of those things going on just because your friends are out of town or what have you, and you're sitting around playing video games, I hope that is great too, because this is a great time of year to catch up on that stuff. And if you're working through the holiday, you know what? I hope you make some fucking money. I hope you make a lot of fucking money. So
that's my goal.
Yeah, there you go. So I hope.
And
that
if you don't have any friends at all,
We're your friends here at Vogue Network.
Unless you're a Nazi, then I'll just punch you.
All right. Anyhow, we're going to wrap up. Thank you guys so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. We will be back next week. I'm anticipating it's going to be a very light news week, but we will talk about some topics such as looking back on not only this year in gaming, but looking back on the decade in gaming. I'm sure a lot of your favorite gaming podcasts are going to be doing something very similar, but we'll do it our way here at Orange Lounge Radio next week. And if there are any news stories that break, we'll talk about that. We'll get this brain age thing figured out and talk about that next week. So we'll be back in 7 days. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, what else can we do? We don't have them. So we really appreciate you guys to help us spread the word.
I do have a thing, actually, and I almost forgot. I would like for our listeners to send me recipes.
Hey, wait a minute. What happened to the last time you asked them to send you stuff?
No one fucking did.
Yeah, I thought I saw some tweets come through.
No.
The educational stuff?
That's different. Oh. I'm going to do a book, an OLR cookbook.
Okay.
With listeners' favorite recipes. With whatever gets made off of it going to directly benefit the show.
Azette says, ooh, baby, what kind of recipes? How about the recipe to your nuts?
And if you've got pictures of them, good high-resolution pictures.
Mm-hmm. Of your nuts.
Of your nuts. Go ahead and send them in. You can either DM me on the Twitters or the Instagrams. I'm at Dark Sakura both places. Or you can, I guess, send it to our mailbox.
And to be clear, because I do not want to be banned on Twitch or violate their terms of service, we are talking about pecans, walnuts, almonds, those type of nuts.
High-resolution pictures of those nuts sent to her
planters,
DMs.
Recipes.
Or other.
Are what I want.
Yes.
And I want to thank Brad and Marissa for already sharing some recipes with me.
Yay.
I would just like specifics, have it detailed, and send me pictures. Because and express permission to publish these. And that way, when the book comes out, I'll make it available for everyone. Anyone who wants to buy a copy of it, just know that the money is going to go back into the OLR budget.
Fun.
Or Vogue budget or whatever budget.
Yeah, well, maybe it would be better to just donate it straight to charity. Just because when it comes to the business things, you know. We'll talk about it off air. All right. So charity's a good thing, though, right?
We'll donate it to the...
Coding for Kids stuff.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Or Extra Life.
Ooh, that'd be a good one too. So. Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's see. So what was I going to say? Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts and really wrap it up here tonight. So Loki, we'll start with you. What's your final thought here?
I hate Christmas and buying things. Mainly the spending of the money and the buying things. Not necessarily the Christmas part. It's expensive.
Well, someone's going to get visited by three ghosts tonight.
I hope they bring money.
No, he won't be, because he's not like a wealthy miser.
It's like you
who's not playing his employees.
All right. Let's see. My final thought. My final thought is I hope everybody has a great holiday, and I look forward to seeing Cats. I'm at the patched version of Cats 1.1.
Cats. Cats that are patched.
Is gone. I used to actually sing the Gumby Cat song to Shermie.
Aww.
But instead of Jenny Any Dot, she was Shermie Wormy Pants. So my final thought, thank God for fleece leggings. I'm cold all the fucking time. And fleece leggings make me not so cold.
Love it. All right. That's going to do it. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days for the last Orange Lounge Radio of the decade. See you in 7 days. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.